This is the whole greatness about being part of fake news.
Oh, yeah.
I can wait to make news. Fake news in my pajama pants. Well, you want to start then, I guess?
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about fake news?
Fake news?
I didn't put anything in the drive about fake news.
Fake news. There's been a lot happening with fake news. I wrote a research paper for one of my college courses, and it's about, it deals with fake news a little bit. It's the public and the private sector are kind of targeting media outlets right now, especially independent outlets that, you know, aren't your typical MSNBC or CNN, blah, blah, blah. The establishment media. So,
right.
I mean, you saw it right after the election. As soon as Trump won, everyone kind of didn't understand. They couldn't believe that Trump had won because they had spent the past 18 months propagandizing people with fake news, basically. Or
yeah, you know, well, way more than 18 months, but
for that right. season of America, you know.
Yeah,
I think of America in seasons now.
Because how long are the seasons?
I mean, a year. You know, you have New Year's Eve. That's like the grand finale.
Yeah, I guess.
New season.
That's interesting. So, I don't know. I mean, the funny thing to me about fake news is that they're pushing all this new stuff. This is called a segue, by the way. They're pushing all this new stuff with the NDAA. Now that's going through in the propaganda, and it's right. like they're just outright coming out and saying we're making fake news, and then they're calling everybody else fake.
Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, I nearly gave myself a panic attack when I found out about it when you sent me that link. I was like, I can't believe this is a thing, because they did it back in 2012. They passed a piece of legislation that repealed the Smith-Mundt Act, I believe, is what it's called.
Right.
That basically bars the federal government from propagandizing the people.
And that was what the one, if I'm not mistaken, that allowed the already existing propaganda agencies that were just using, they were making stuff for overseas. Right. That one made it legal for them to just give it to CNN or whatever and say, here's some news.
Yeah. It's another news wire source, basically. You know, it's like the AP. That's my concern, is that now, if the American government sets up something like RT, you know, Russia Today, or whatever North Korea's news network is, my fear is that all the other news networks, they'll just start parroting whatever the official story is or the official truth is for what's going on.
And oh, my friend, they are doing that already. But yeah, I agree. It's going to get bad. The interesting thing is the attacks on the outside of the controlled media, you know, they're going after hardcore anybody who's not inside their little control ring.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
That's you. So do you think we ought to...
I haven't been lampooned yet. I don't think I'm big enough to get be a target quite yet, but...
Well, if this is going to be a new show, you think we ought to read some of this stuff or cover it?
Yeah, sure.
You want to be the reader, or what do you think? How should we handle that? This the bill.
The bill itself. Okay. Let's see here. Let's see.
It is S.2692 of the 114th Congress. Right? I'm looking at it.
Okay, yeah, I got that link.
Well, I mean, we could read another news article about the bill. I just thought this would be more not fake.
The primary source is pretty good.
Right.
I don't know. And the other thing, too, is when I Googled it, I couldn't find hardly any, you know, what you think of as a credible source, you know, or what people perceive to be a credible source. They weren't really talking about it.
Yeah, I didn't see this on Countable either. So you want to read some of this? Or read at least some of that'll...
Sure. So the main piece of legislation here that was included in the NDAA, which they have, you know, repassed periodically, is the Countering Information Warfare Act of 2016. And this is a bill that expresses the sense of Congress that foreign governments, including governments of the Russia Federation and China, use disinformation and other propaganda tools to undermine the national security objectives of the U.S. The U.S. government should develop a comprehensive strategy to counter foreign disinformation and propaganda and assert leadership in developing a fact-based strategic narrative. that right there should throw up some red flags.
Right. It did for me.
If especially the WikiLeaks thing. I mean, it's the easiest example to point to. If if Russia did in fact leak those Hillary Clinton and Podesta emails, that's a good thing. The Russian government did the media's job for us, you know, like, and I don't know why you would need to counter that with true information. But okay, here's a third piece. So the important element of this strategy should be to promote an independent press in countries that are vulnerable to foreign disinformation. So I don't know what that could entail. Maybe implanting some state government journalists, you know. What's unclear to me is this going to be Voice of America, or is this going to be
Voice of America
something new? Are you familiar with Voice of America?
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of earlier that I couldn't think of when we were talking about NDAA 2012, right?
Yeah.
I think that might be, but it looks like to me, and I read through this, but I didn't memorize it, but it looks like to me they're developing a special task force type of thing, and they've appropriated, I want to say, $20 million for it. And then it details in here how they can, it's pretty interesting. There's a section in here that basically says that they can use any government employee to create fake news with or without compensation. Then there's also, it details in here how they can use employees to create independent media, or supposedly independent media. Let me see if I can find that. Steering committee.
Independent media. Oh.
Detailed government employees. Any federal government employee may be detailed to the center without reimbursement, and such detail shall be without interruption or loss of civil service status or privilege.
So wow.
Yeah, so that means anybody in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, National Guard. I mean,
that is not good. It makes you wonder what, I mean.
So this says the chairman may procure temporary and intermittent services under Section 3109B of Title V, United States Codes, at rates for individuals which do not exceed the daily equivalent of the annual rate of basic pay prescribed for Level 4, blah, blah, blah. This is saying that whenever he wants, he can just hire people and pay them on this government pay scale under this Section 3109B of Title V U.S. Code.
Well, hey, if you're doing your job too well as a journalist, federal government comes to you, they offer to buy you out or give you a higher salary or, you know, fund your operation.
Well,
it's pretty tempting for some people, you know.
I think this is where it's going right here. I think this is what news is going to be. It's going to stop being, I don't even know who's the main news guys now. It's not going to be Shepard Smith or Bill O'Reilly or all those guys are not going to be going into a studio and giving everybody the news for much longer. I mean, that is dying.
Yeah.
And I think all the main news media outlets are going to be, they're going to be hiring people and turning them loose with equipment and just going, here, go turn, you know, send me an email by the end of the week with your stories.
Yep. I mean, ad revenues across the board for local and national broadcast news are dropping. Print is nearly completely dead at this point. The only people who pick up a newspaper really are boomers, Gen Xers are in there too, but I mean,
right.
I don't know anyone in my generation who picks up a print newspaper, and that print journalism is historically been, you know, investigative journalism, the important kind of news that you really need in society,
right,
to keep the government in check and keep corporations in check and just anybody who's in a position of power in check. And there's now, no money in it anymore. So,
well, all the people with integrity are out. When the government started handing out news, like, run this story that we made for you. I mean,
yeah.
How can you? Anyway, I'm not a journalist, but I don't see how.
Yeah, the White House press corps. You know, you go to the White House to have, you know, the president's press secretary. You tell you what's going on. You know, I mean, there's.
Hello.
And that's a huge problem. I mean, I was trying to.
Hey.
I went on Facebook. See, I mean, I was ranting and raving about this whole thing.
I lost you for about 30 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. Go back in your train of thought.
What was I even saying? I mean.
No, I'm sorry. That was probably Facebook not a good co-host thing to do. I'm learning. No,
it's all right. It's all good. What I was saying though is, I've been on Facebook. I've been trying to share this information with people who are friends with me, and it doesn't seem to concern people all too much. I mean, there's some people who get it. They're like, "Yeah, this is messed up," but I don't know. It's the general reaction just seems to be, "Oh, whatever."
Well, I don't know. I don't want to get too worked up about what all the reasons I think are why on that. But yeah, I think it's easy to forget that most people just don't care about national politics ever. That's always the case. Most people don't care. Most people didn't get involved in the Revolutionary War. You know, it was a small percentage of the population that started and fought the war. So, and that's how it always is. You know, I don't want to get too down on like current generations, but there's so much stuff coming at younger people these days. There's more information coming at a person than anybody in history's ever had to deal with. And I think it's part of the fog, and that's part of the whole fake news fog and the whole propaganda fog. The whole thing is just making it so that if you really plug yourself into this, it's going to be hard to tell what's real and what's BS.
Right. Yeah, that is a huge problem. I mean, you could spend all day reading and researching and trying to stay up to date on what's going on. You'd still, you know, only cover a fraction of it. That's why we are supposed to have, you know, real journalists telling us what's going on that have the know-how,
right,
and the intelligence to recognize what's important and tell us what's important. But everything's ratings driven. Everything's view driven.
Well, it's got to be ratings driven because they're losing their advertising dollars. So they got to get that back by product placement and subliminal messaging, which they for sure do.
Oh.
But
yeah, and I mean,
fake news.
Fake
news.
Did you see Mariah Carey out on Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve?
I did not see that.
Completely unrelated, but it's pretty funny. She's lip syncing the whole time, and then they play one of her tracks that doesn't have the back vocals. So she just kind of stands around for 3 minutes and walks around the stage and doesn't sing the entire thing.
See, she forgot the name or the words to her own song?
No, I think she just wasn't singing it at all. Like, there's a song before, and you can tell, too, because the camera's kind of, it's zoomed in, and you can tell, like, the lips aren't matching up. And
yeah,
everyone who's at the front of it is still cheering and going crazy, even though she's not doing anything. Like, they look like paid actors. It just looks fabricated and fake. Everything. I mean, it's hard to to stay positive.
Okay, really, that's a good segue. Let's do some positive section. That's what I got. Put the Crypto Wars folder in there for.
Okay.
Sorry, I have been fighting a cold. So, hang on real quick. Let's just check before I... Bitcoin, right now, has been flirting with $1,000 all day. It's at $993 right now.
Oh, wow.
I did see on my phone that it broke 1,000 momentarily, but I suspect it'll probably take a run up above about 1,020 before it'll hold at 1,000. But so there's that, and I got some articles in there. I don't know if you looked at any of them that talk about Bitcoin, but the one on Forbes I thought was interesting. It says that Bitcoin beats up on stocks. Oh, Bitcoin beats up on stocks, bonds, and gold. And it just talks about basically how Bitcoin was by far the best investment for your money. If you would have put your money in Bitcoin at the beginning of the year. Whoa. Is that you or me?
That was me. Those video ads that just pop up out of nowhere.
I know.
The worst.
So... that, I think, is good news. And then, in case anybody... we're going to have to put show notes in here. But I put a little article in there for why Bitcoin is important. But if you'd like, I can give a brief rundown of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, we'll run through this article. Because it's better than what I can come up on the fly. 7 reasons why Bitcoin is better than banking. And I'll just hit the highlights in freestyle here. It says, you don't need permission to use it. Access to banks and credit cards are entirely at the discretion of the banks. There are over 1 billion people in the world who don't have a bank account, especially in small third world countries and places like China and India, where lots of people don't have roads. Other people are flat out rejected from opening a bank. So that's one great thing about Bitcoin. It doesn't belong to a government, and you don't need to go to a bank to get access to it. Number two, there are no spending limits, which that's interesting. I just actually opened a bank account the other day, and I can't spend more than $3,000 in a day. I just
really?
Can't. Yeah.
Whoa.
It doesn't say unless. It just says that's my limit. Anyway, Bitcoin.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I
okay.
Didn't know that.
Not all banks are the same. It's all going to be relative. But I'm sure if I had $1 million, I wouldn't have a $3,000 spending limit. But I don't have $1 million. But okay, so there are no spending limits in Bitcoin. In Bitcoin, one person can send as much money as they want to another person without an intermediary. Number three, quick international settlement. You can send $1 million to China for 45 cents, and it would take the same amount of time as it would take it to send it from Wichita to Topeka.
Mm-hmm.
24/7 access. You don't have to worry about the bank closing. The bank doesn't close. It runs on everybody's computer in the whole world. As long as you have access to the internet and your private keys, you can get on. Number five, your account cannot be levied. I don't really think that's important. Lower fees, that's all right. Bitcoins are not IOUs. This one doesn't really touch on my favorite. My favorite is that Bitcoin provides a way to escape the trap of the immoral banking system that we're dealing with right now, that is the root of all the stupid problems that we're having in the world. It's the reason why the United States government and other governments can go on these worldwide never-ending wars against ideologies that, you know, you can't ever kill an ideology, but you couldn't fund that war if you had to make the money up. It's the immoral way that governments are allowed to create money out of fiat and rob the rest of us that creates most of our problems. And Bitcoin is a way anybody wants to can escape the system. And I'm putting money, I'm starting to save in Bitcoin. I only had a few. I've got 3 Bitcoin, and I've decided that at the end of this year, I'm going to look back at the article about 2017 and go, man, I made a lot of money on Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, I have a little bit of Bitcoin that you sent me, and even that, I mean, that's quadrupled in value since you've given it to me.
Yeah, how are you going to feel when it pays your student loans off?
Oh, that would be great. I hope the banks will be accepting Bitcoin by then.
That's all right, dude. I'll give you cash for your Bitcoin. If it's worth money, people will pay money.
Right, right. And, yeah, And, you know, the Federal Reserve notes, they are fiat, and how do they have value? Well, you has to be traded against something.
Right.
You have the petrodollar, like you were telling me about, and you have all these foreign wars, and you really investigate and look into why we're over there, why we're doing what we're doing. A lot of times it has to do with oil being traded against the U.S. dollar.
Well,
or not with the U.S. dollar.
Historically, historically, all wars are at root over resources, right? I mean, that's the root of almost all wars. Maybe not all, but almost all wars. It's a need for resource. And that's all. But if you can create wealth, or supposedly create wealth by, I mean, it's gangster tactics is what it is. Is they're making a dollar and saying, give me oil for this dollar, or else, you know, well, go ask Saddam Hussein what happens. Or go ask Muammar Gaddafi what happens, right?
Right.
Go ask Bashar al-Assad what happens if you don't even, you know, butter us up a little bit.
Yeah. Do you like hellfire missiles blowing up your cafe?
Well, it's not just your cafe. I mean, this is the most disgusting thing about it. It's another reason why I'd like to be fully on Bitcoin, is so I could not pay taxes to the U.S. government. But they'll do stuff like bomb a wedding convoy, because they think there's a wanted terrorist in there, and then they circle around and wait for the paramedics to show up, and then bomb it again. And that's the U.S. government that does stuff like that. Of course, the fake news is never going to report on that.
They're never going to cover that. Yep. I mean, if anyone listening hasn't seen that before, check out Collateral Murder. Type in Collateral Murder on Google and go to WikiLeaks and watch that video. Similar situation where, I mean, AC-130 circling around where there were suspected terrorists, I believe.
Is that the one earlier for the time? Bradley Manning WikiLeaks deal?
Yes, okay. Yes. I have that, actually. Let's see here.
I have seen that. Hey, while you're looking that up, I want to do a real quick wrap on our cryptocurrency upbeat news. Because we didn't finish it. I'm just trying to be professional here. Because I got the rest of this. It's going to be weird if we come back to these stories later.
That's true.
But I just wanted to mention the other things in here, like the library.io and Steemit, that are blockchain technologies that will allow people a place to go put content, news sources, and stuff like that, that once it's posted onto the blockchain, it cannot be edited. So it's censorship, at least censorship resistant, maybe proof for now.
Right. In theory, you know, you'd only be able to take it down if everyone on the blockchain, their computer got taken down. So it's pretty secure, I would say.
Well, it's distributed. The blockchain is, I mean, Bitcoin, I like Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin is going to go to the moon. But even if it doesn't, the blockchain is the invention that I think is going to help us to shrug off these corporate fat cats that are running our lives. It's just going to be able to help the average person go, we don't need your bank. We, you know, eventually, hopefully, we'll figure out that we don't need their government. Because if we didn't have the United States government, ooh, and we were just Kansans or just Ricky and Garth, who's going to... You know, Putin's not going to send a nuclear missile to my house. What did I do to him? Anyway, so that's it. Check me out, Garth Freeman at Steemit. Ricky, oh, give the Informer. Is it the Informer at Steemit?
The Leader.
The Leader.
The Leader on Steemit.
God, I'm going to edit that out.
Steemit.com. Yeah, Steemit's great, especially if you're an independent content creator and you want a way to, you know, help finance what you're doing. Because when you get re-steamed or basically retweeted or shared, you gain Bitcoin. you get paid in Bitcoin basically for your content, which is awesome.
Right. Well, it can be converted to Bitcoin, but it's not exactly Bitcoin. It's like Bitcoin. It's Steam. They set up their own economy. But anyway, you can sell it for Bitcoin. I have not.
Cryptocurrency, free of government.
Yes.
Control.
Well, Steemit is. Anyway, I'm just learning about it, so there's going to be somebody writing an article if they ever listen to this and say, you got it wrong. Because I'm going to put this on Steemit. But I don't think that it's completely without. It's not like Bitcoin where there's no governance. Like Bitcoin, there's nobody that can be arrested to take down Bitcoin. It's completely distributed. Steemit, there are two guys that I think there's a corporate control still over what's going on, because they're still making changes to it and all this other stuff. It is distributed to a certain extent, but I don't think it's quite as free. I think that the government could probably shut it down at this point, but I don't know. We'll see if the Steemians can straighten me out on that one. You want to go to your collateral murder then?
Oh, sure.
All right.
So, collateral murder is a 39-minute video that you can find on WikiLeaks. There is an abridged version of it that shows gun sight footage during 2007 of the Iraq War. And in the video, Apache helicopter crews fired 30mm cannons at a group of Iraqi men standing at a position insurgents had previously used to attack an American Humvee. Two Reuters war correspondents were in this group. One of them killed and the other was injured. A second strike was directed at a van that appeared to stop to pick up bodies left in the aftermath, leading to more death and the serious wounding of a 6 and 9-year-old child. Children. So, the person who leaked that was Bradley Manning. And is now a criminal. It was high treason what he did, basically, exposing that information.
He's in prison now.
To the American public.
As far as I know, none of the people that were caught on the video went to prison. Bradley Manning's been in prison for like a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty disgusting. Yeah, and they're, of course, I mean, you have to dehumanize people to be able to kill them in a war. I mean, that's part of being a soldier. But it is pretty disgusting to watch, because they're sitting there laughing. I mean, they're talking about, they don't even know if they got weapons in their hands. And they're like, whatever, kill them anyway. You know, mm-hmm. It's been a while since I've seen it, but it's pretty gruesome.
Yeah. And, you know, that's just the stuff that has been revealed. You know, that's just a glimpse at what could possibly be going on. And to me, it kind of shows how, in a way, we're creating this perpetual war where, you know, innocent people do end up getting killed. And who knows what the families of those people who died are going to do. They could easily be radicalized. And then you've created an enemy.
Yeah.
Out of you know.
That's called blowback.
Blowback. Yep.
That was Ron Paul. That was one of Ron Paul's major talking points when he ran for president the last go around. Yeah, what are you going to do if your dad was in that video in the class? What if those two kids that were in the video that got seriously injured, you know, I bet they don't like America all that much. And if somebody comes along and says, Allah says you can go to heaven if you kill some infidels, then they're going to be like, oh, really? Well, I ain't got nothing going on here, because, you know, ISIS is over there chopping people's heads off. Anyway. Fun times.
Do we absolutely. Back to the whole, you know, the journalism is under attack. There's threats to journalism. Over the past 8 years, there have been more whistleblowers put in prison than the entire history of the United States, and that's national security whistleblowers. I believe the total is over 500 months combined. You know, there's some people who are just going to be in there for the rest of their lives for doing nothing more than doing what a journalist should do. You know, doing
what journalists should do.
Should be doing.
Let's see if I can get this to work.
track record of transparency. I'll make our government open and transparent.
We'll do it in a transparent way.
I want transparency. I want accountability so that the American people can be involved in their own government.
Let me say it as simply as I can. Transparency and the rule of law will be the touchstones of this presidency. This is the most transparent administration in history.
Yeah, that one was only 23 seconds, but I just Googled Obama most transparent in history, and there's like a never-ending stream of videos. Yeah, it's crazy because he is. He's. It's like Hitler. I'm not trying to compare him like on a level of evilness to Hitler, but it's like what Hitler did. Hitler said, or the quote has been attributed to Hitler anyway, that if you tell a lie often enough and loud enough, people will begin to believe it. I don't know if he actually said it, but
repetition is the most effective way to condition people and to brainwash them, replace their ways of thinking with something new.
Right. And, which is why the news channels all read script on the air. And it's the exact same wording from one channel to the next. And they use the keywords like Pizzagate. Like, okay, well, I don't even really want to get into it, but let's just throw some keywords out there that come out of nowhere. How about Pizzagate? How about fake news? How about
fake news?
Yeah, like, so it's just the keywords just come out. And once they start rolling with the keywords, it's like almost an unstoppable chain. Assault rifle. You know, I mean, just whatever it is. There's a billion of them, but whenever you hear them, you know you're listening to fake news.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Right. They took the babies out of the incubators and took the incubators and left the babies to die on the cold floor. Do you remember that? Oh, you were just a baby. Wait, what year were you born?
95.
You weren't born yet.
Ooh.
Okay. Flashback for the younger generation. I might have to find it on YouTube, but basically, before the first invasion to Iraq, after Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, they had this, I want to say, late teenage girl, supposedly Kuwaiti girl, go to Congress and tell Congress that the Iraqi army had invaded the hospitals and took babies out of incubators and left them to die on the floor so they could steal the incubators. And it later came out that the whole thing was a farce. The girl was the daughter of one of the, I want to say, ambassadors of Kuwait. It was all completely made up. But it was, many congressmen have come out and said that was the turning point argument that decided my vote to cast a vote to go to war in Iraq the first time.
So, fake news.
Fake news. And that's
fake
they
news, man.
Just, I mean, the worst is not just that they tell you stories that are not true, but the worst part is that they, like, it's like the movie Wag the Dog. They set up a set and they have actors come in and they, all right, ready, action, and they do the whole role and they just make up a story.
And going back to the NDAA bill, you know, they're upping their production budget now. They got an extra, what, $20-40 million? I think it's $20 million, right?
Let me find it. I want to say 20.
Millions of extra dollars in production value to fabricate reality and just make stuff up.
Hey, how many people can you pay to make YouTube videos with $20 million?
Quite a bit.
Especially if they actually start making money off of the YouTube videos, you know?
Mm-hmm. Set up a close partnership with Alphabet, which owns Google, YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
Help those channels rise to the top slowly but surely.
Oh, Alphabet. Okay. Do we want to move on to anything else that I put in there? You got anything else? You want to talk about Obama off the chain, or you didn't like that title?
Wait, where is that?
That's just my title for the paper that I put in there with all the links.
Oh, okay.
Did you read any
Obama's
of those?
He's been making some moves lately.
Yeah, that's what. This is not all of them, but that's what all those links are. It's just some of the stuff that he's done. The land grabs, the sanctions against Russia. This one here, let's look at this one real quick. This one's interesting. because this is like all of this, in my opinion, is just a big middle finger to Trump and everybody who voted for him. Mm-hmm. He's like, I am going to tie your hands for the first 3 years of your presidency. Okay, Obama abolishes national visitor registry before Trump takes office. This is a registry program intended to track visitors who arrive in the U.S. from countries with active terrorist groups less than a month before President-elect Donald Trump takes office. So this means that, like, people who are coming here from Syria, this registry was intended to track people who were coming from Syria or Yemen or all these war-torn... Right. Oh, yeah. We did the whole time Obama was president, but now that he's leaving, we don't need it anymore. Because we all know that we're not bombing brown people in the Middle East anymore, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So, I thought that one was pretty... I don't understand how anybody could support this guy.
Really stoking the flames with Russia, too. I mean... Yeah.
Oh, the sanctions on Russia. Let's see. Obama slaps Russia with expulsions and broad sanctions for meddling. That's the thing. He's sanctioning Russia for meddling in U.S. elections. There is no proof that Russia meddled in the elections in any way.
And if they did, how dare you do the exact same thing that we've been doing to you for I don't know how long. Or, you know, elections all across the board. Like all the dictators we prop up in the Middle East. That's pretty heavy-handed meddling in other people's affairs.
Oh, yeah. We've been meddling for... Honestly, though, we've been meddling for as long as we've had a central bank. So what was that? 1913? Isn't that, like, right when we went to World War I?
Mm-hmm. It's a strange coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. Creature from Jekyll Island, right? You ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Jekyll Island, that's where the it was all drafted and put together, right?
Yeah. That's it. Oh, did you see this about the UN? Okay. But we should probably start with the Obama says F you to Israel. Did you read any of that?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I'll summarize, and if you want the first one, if you want to read any, we can do that. But the first one talks about how the Free Beacon, this is why I'm going with the Free Beacon, they broke the story. The insiders have told the Free Beacon that it was Obama in the White House that, like, orchestrated the whole idea behind this sanction for the settlements. And that's before it went to vote with the UN. Like, it was Obama that was pushing it, and then that's why we abstained. So that's the first article. And then the second article, which we got a Republican Congress, right? Second article, Congress moving to cut U.S. funding to UN in wake of anti-Israel vote. So guys in Congress are trying to pass laws to cut our funding to the United Nations, which I'm sure this doesn't come as a shock to anybody, but we are by far the number one donor to the United Nations.
Uh-huh.
So that to me is pretty interesting. That would be a pretty strong shot at globalism right there if it does go through.
Is this a partisan thing or?
Well, I'm sure it's partisan. What in the world happens in our government that's not partisan, honestly? Besides bombing.
The NDAA.
People. That's true. That is
bipartisan. Anything that's bipartisan should probably be more concerning than anything that's partisan.
Anything that is against liberty and for killing people is bipartisan.
At least we can agree on some things.
If we can't sell guns to somebody, damn it, we're going to kill somebody. That's just it. Okay, so I don't know. We don't need to read those.
Interesting.
I thought that was noteworthy news. And that would be, if Congress tries to defund the UN, I think that would cause some more interesting fake news to happen.
maybe the UN should establish a news network. That way the world can know what's going on.
Yeah. Don't they have something?
I don't know.
I that sounds like something that they should have. Yeah, you're right. Let's look at that network.
Because otherwise, how do we know what's going on in the world?
Well, I mean, if you're a major government type of organization, you got to have a propaganda wing, right? United Nations News Center. Oh, they spell it the British way. Golly. Yeah, they got a news center here, dude. They got a whole page.
Oh, nice.
Now, I told you, you got to have propaganda if you're going to be in the government business. And that's what these people want to be. They want to run the world. It's pinky in the brain. We're at 45 minutes. Are we? What are we? What direction do you want to take this in? Are you interested at all in my water discoveries, or did you look at that one?
Man, I honestly, I breezed through it, but
I didn't explain where I was going with it, but
it has a lot of crazy stuff in there.
Well. One of the things that I think is crazy is that they keep recycling these stories and putting them out like they're new. Like this one, the first one that I've got, okay, New York Times Post 2016. Let's see how fast it takes. Massive anomaly lurks beneath ice in Antarctica. Oh, this one might not be the one that they recycled. Okay, this one is not recycled. That I just thought was interesting. This gigantic gravitational anomaly that is 151 miles across and almost 3,000 meters deep or feet deep under Antarctica.
Cool.
Which they're now saying, oh, we're going to have to readjust all of our timelines for the millions of years and extinction events and all that. But
whatever shall we do?
The one that I was really interested in was these. Let's see. This one is... Okay, let's start out with the old one. 2007. This says, the Daily Mail. An ocean of water is found 620 miles below Earth's surface. And if it dries up, life on our planet could end. So, anyway, whole new story. If you could read all these stories, we can leave notes. They're all basically saying the same thing, but they're acting like it just got happened. Or it just got discovered. Then 2014, massive ocean discovered towards Earth's core. A reservoir three times the volume of all the oceans that's been discovered deep in the Earth's surface. And this one says it's 700 kilometers deep.
Micah?
Now,
it just didn't catch on when they published it the first time.
I know, but then there's more. There was another article from this year that they found this ocean. But then I also, while I was looking, I noticed that there's just all these articles that keep getting recycled about water, underground oceans on Pluto and water on Mars. And anyway, it just looks like propaganda for some reason or another to me. And I just wanted to point it out because it's like they're recycling all these articles about water on other planets, water in the earth, all these hidden water. Just,
well, I mean, that's good news because we're apparently running out of water, right?
Well, that's the thing that's interesting. For one, I mean, if you read these articles and how they find out that there's water under there, it's pretty tenuous at best. I mean, they're making a lot of leaps, especially the ones about Pluto and Mars and everything like that. But they keep publishing all these articles about finding water everywhere. I don't know. You keep seeing something over and over again, and in my opinion, that makes me want to look twice. So something's going to happen with water. I don't know. I'm just trying to keep this thing going a little bit longer. If we reach an hour, that seems like a better time. What else you got? Yeah.
Man, nothing really. I've really just I'm on the cusp, I would say. I'm on the brink of do we continue to try to tell the truth and possibly go insane go crazy from all this, or just do something like entertainment, and then at least there's not there's no illusion there that, you know, you're doing good.
Well, you still have an illusion with the entertainment, because with entertainment you can easily fall into the illusion that what you're doing is just good fun and it doesn't actually affect people and how they see things. But the entertainment that people allow to influence them, it shapes their perception of the world. That's why people don't care about what's going on in other countries. You know, that's why when you tell people, oh, you know, Obama just signed this law that is going to make it legal to propagandize the people in the United States, they're just like, whatever, I don't care, because they're programmed.
And that's exactly the thing. That's the thing that's so disheartening about it is, you can get the truth out, you get the news out, and then you really only hit a small fraction of the population that's willing to listen and, you know, be open-minded. Because a lot of this stuff, if you're listening to this, you know, you might just think that we're crazy or we don't know what we're talking about, right? I feel like that's the impression I give people sometimes.
Yeah. Well, but we haven't talked about anything crazy, but you're right. I mean, I bet you that you're not going to hear anything about the NDAA and propaganda on CNN or Fox.
No, I can guarantee you will not hear about it. So, it's not sexy enough. It's not.
Well, they don't want to tell you that they are lying to you. That ruins their own credibility. You know, it's like having an argument with a teacher about education. You know, you just can't. You can't tell them nothing. They're invested in it, right? You can't tell a guy that works at H&R Block that the United States is desperately in need of an overhaul of the tax system because it's too complicated and most people don't understand it. That guy doesn't want to hear that. That's what he wants. So that's one of the problems that you're fighting is everybody's so invested in the system right now. Everybody's invested in the system. And so in order for you to convince people to pull back and look at things a different way, you have to give them reasons to question their investment in the system, which it's tough for sure.
College gets pretty damn invested, especially, you know, you're taking loans out.
Yeah.
You certainly get invested there. You're here for the long haul.
Well, you have the financial investment, but you also have the emotional investment and the intellectual investment as well. I mean, who wants to spend... Well, we're in Kansas, so I ain't going to put a dollar amount on it, but let's just say you lived anywhere in USA. Who wants to spend $100,000 on an education that, at the end of the day, you don't think you learned anything useful? No. Whatever you learned, you're going to tell yourself is useful and true and right, because you paid $100,000 for it.
Oh my God, it better be worth it.
Right. And it's a very rare person who's going to get to the end of that and go, man, that was not worth it.
Money well spent.
No, I tell you, I have a college degree and it was not worth it for me.
Yeah.
I'm not telling anybody else what to do, but for me, it was not worth it. I would have been money ahead to just go to work, just do my own thing. Yep.
If you're not in the STEM college, if you're not trying to be a doctor or a lawyer, yeah. If you're wanting to do gender studies or film,
gender studies,
film and media, or journalism.
So gender studies, gender studies. That reminds me of something else we could talk about. I do not watch TV because I don't have one, but I saw that on YouTube. There is a video on MTV, and it is New Year's advice or something for white males. So it's like a 3-minute video where MTV characterizes, I want to say 100 million people in this country alone to basically be exactly the same. They stereotype 100 million people and say, you're all like this, you dirty white males. It's like the most racist, sexist thing I've ever seen in my entire life, but it's no big deal because we're white males.
No, if you're a white male, you're supposed to hate yourself.
Well, you're supposed
to hate yourself.
I refuse.
It's honestly, every other culture is encouraged to take pride in their identity and who they are, and white people are just supposed to feel guilty about themselves. That's what I've taken away from
it. The thing that I've taken away from it is that the whole idea of race is stupid. It's stupid on its face. Mm-hmm. Like, and I know people are going to say this is overly simple, but a black lab does not hate a yellow lab because he's yellow. It's a dog. It's a lab. They're the same dog. It doesn't matter. People are the same way. It's just a different color of skin. The whole idea of bringing it into every conversation is just a tactic to divide people. It's just a way to cause a certain group of people to hate another certain group of people so they can use that to steer the major political parties who are split down two major lines, and they divide people mostly by race and sexual orientation and their belief in God or lack thereof, and they fall neatly into one of these two categories, and if you don't, you just get pushed there gradually.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and yeah, that's the thing. What was I going to say? It's sick. It's sick.
I'm sorry. I was just looking in the background there. Your screen. You almost look like you're in a prison cell, except for the TV. Like a halfway house.
It's pretty narrow in here.
Yeah. Well,
too. I can't even turn the AC on in here.
Because it would run out the mic, or
no? They shut it off.
Oh.
So it gets to a certain point where it's freezing temperatures long enough. And then they kick the heat on.
Until it's probably you're freezing a boiler. Your ass off. Is it a big, real big building?
Yeah, it's decent sized.
It's probably got a boiler in there. It probably takes a lot to get it going, the heat.
Yeah.
But anyway.
No, but yeah, the identity politics really drives me nuts. And it distracts people from the real enemy. I mean, because what percentage of white people are in politics, are in high positions of power in the federal government? It doesn't matter what skin color they are.
Right.
Those are the people that we should be concerned with and be criticizing and trying to get rid of, in my opinion.
I am personally against anybody whose idea of what we should do is tell other people what they can and can't do if they're not hurting anybody, so see how that goes. That puts me against about everybody. Except Ron Paul. Hey,
Ron Paul.
Speaking of Ron Paul, did you see that one of the electors actually voted for Ron Paul?
Really?
Ron Paul, really? Yeah. Ron Paul got more electoral votes than Gary Johnson, and he wasn't even on the ballot. Man.
Ron Paul should have been the Libertarian candidate.
Well, Ron Paul, I would have voted for him, but he's pretty old at this point. So, I would have liked to have seen John McAfee. That would have been a good one. He might have won. Well, he wouldn't have won. But he might have got on one of the debates.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I think I really am hoping, anyway, that technology, I think this censorship battle that's going on is going to force people into these newer technologies like the blockchain type of stuff that are going to be free of censorship, and it's going to make those other old systems obsolete. That's what I'm hoping is going to happen. So we'll see.
We can hope. I just hope in the process technology doesn't bring us down. I just see a lot of negative aspects of technology.
Well,
John, you're just sitting in a public area, you look around, and everyone's doing this. Spend our whole day looking down.
Yeah, but it won't be very much longer before the computers are on our eyeballs, Ricky.
Oh, that'll make everything so much better.
Hey, I'm not... you know it's true, too. But the thing is, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. This is the lot you're dealt with. We're going to see... And you know what? If there's a giant... If there's big social upheaval, then a lot of this technology may exist, but it'll be sporadic, and a lot of people aren't going to get it. But if that doesn't happen, it just is. This is just the world that we live in. You know, either you're going to put a microchip in your brain at some point in the future, or you're not. I'm not. I don't know about you, but not me.
Oh, what's that? What's that movie with Bruce Willis and everyone's in, Surrogates.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Everyone has robot bodies that are perfect and beautiful, and in reality, people are just like sitting in their living room like a fat blob, just like living through this robot. Okay. And then there's a faction of people who are doing that.
Honestly, that's a pretty popular theme. I just saw a video. It was actually an older one. It was some transhumanist video that was talking. It was, I want to say, it was like mid 2000, like 2005 or 2006, but it was saying, oh, we're going to have avatars by 20. I want to say it said by 2020, we're going to have, like, people are going to be able to upload their consciousness into an avatar and basically never get sick again. And then it was, I can't remember the exact date, but this video was saying, like, by 2045, something like that, we'll be able to basically we'll be rid of our brains and our bodies. We're just going to be totally consciousness.
Just trying to reinvent the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, you're going to live forever and be like God, right? Genesis 3? Yeah. Or is it 2?
It's, yeah. Of course, they don't want you to crack that book open.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it is, well, not the funny thing about it. This is something that I tell myself to keep everything in perspective. But all the things that science knows and all the things that science is able to do right now can be wiped out in a split second by one single thing that we know for sure has happened to this Earth many times. You know what that is? Giant solar flare.
Oh.
Boom. How many scientists even claim to be able to control or predict solar flares? Not a single one. So, I'm not saying we're going to have a solar flare. All I'm just saying is, God controls the sun. God is still in control. You know, of all these things, like, they're saying, oh, we found a massive ocean under the core of the Earth, but we can't even come close to drilling deep enough, right? They found a gravitational anomaly with these sophisticated satellites in outer space, but there's no way that we can even get close to getting down there to see what it is. The sun could wipe all life on this planet out in a heartbeat with, you know, solar flares that it actually has that are big enough to wipe us out. They're just pointing the other way. You know, it could happen at any moment. But I'm not worried about it happening because I know who's running the show.
Right.
And it ain't Obama. I mean,
a lot of people like to think that science helps disprove God, you know, through the God of a gap, so we don't understand something, so therefore God did it, right? And then science, over time, has disproven it. But, you know, in actuality, I think that with the advancement of science, it's created more evidence that there is a divine architect who put all this stuff together. If you just look at the complexity of a human eyeball and all the different nerve endings and how they're connected and how it's just right, just the right, right. size with the right shape of lens to have human sight is pretty incredible.
I'll tell you what's...
If we did evolve from primordial ooze to what we are now, it would basically be like throwing a deck of cards just in the street an infinite number of times until it magically turned into a perfectly standing house of cards.
Right.
It's the equivalent of that.
It does astound me the way people look at the same evidence and come up with different conclusions. But yeah, it's, you see some things that, well, okay, I'll give you an example. The other day, well, you know, I'm on this special, the ketosis, I'm trying to do this dietary ketosis, I'm playing with that, so I'm sitting here trying to figure out how ketones are metabolized and all the different processes that go in there. And that's one thing, it I don't see how evolution could explain any single bit of it, much less the system of like the ATP engine and how ketones and glucose and all that are converted in the different processes in the body just to get energy out of simple mechanisms. There's no way, all those parts have to work. They have to be working together in order for any of them to have a point. So right. There's all kinds of examples like that in nature. And the more that we're able to observe, the better we're able to build microscopes to look at small things or telescopes to look out into the space, the more that we see that everything is complicated.
Right. Infinitely complicated.
Right. And infinitely big and infinitely small.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It never stops. I mean, who? I mean, that doesn't make any sense without a designer, right? It's almost like there's a genius designer that's playing games with you, tempting you to explore, but giving you enough to say, "Well, there's no way I can get to the end of this puzzle." I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. I think it makes more sense that, you know, just everything came out of nothing, and it was a big explosion 90 billion years ago. And then we evolved from primordial ooze.
Right.
Over the slow progression.
That's the point at which they look. All the scientific theories, and I'll admit I'm no genius, they all lose me at that point. Where this Big Bang, it doesn't answer the question of why is there matter when there's not, when there could be not matter. When you look at matter on these microscopes and you put them in particle accelerators and we figure out that in fact at a particle level matter is all energy, it's basically all energy, and all energy is deteriorating entropy, so everything is basically falling apart, that leaves the question, where did it all come from? It had to come from somewhere. There had to be an original source of energy that somehow became matter. It didn't just come from nothing. So you could say the Big Bang, but I've never heard anybody explain it to where I understood how that takes God out of the equation. How does that eliminate the need for answering the question, where did all this stuff come from? Basically, the most basic question, where did all this stuff come from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if, you know, if by some miracle there's someone out there listening right now and they believe in evolution and they're a staunch, you know, scientific atheist, you are just as religious as the Christian next door or the Muslim next door. You are basing, you know, your worldview on belief and faith in a theory that has not been proven. We have never witnessed the formation of a star. We've never witnessed the formation of a planet. We've never witnessed one species evolving into a higher species, or a higher species evolving into a lower species. We can observe microevolution, variations within a species, within a kind. You can turn a labradoodle, you're a labrador and a poodle into a labradoodle, but you're not going to change a dog into a cat. It hasn't been done yet. So, I mean, just recognize that it's a belief. I think that's my thing.
Well, and, it all goes back to fake news, buddy. I'm going to tie this into fake news. Watch this. You know why people believe all that stuff is because it's fed to them. And it's not just on fake news, but it's all propaganda. And this is why I'm against the Department of Education. Because that's where it all really comes from. It's from a centralized location telling all the people to teach the kids this. And that's where they learn it. You go to school and they tell you this. And I've bought some of the textbooks, so I've seen them. But they put them in the textbooks. Billions of years ago, this happened. But nobody stops and says, wait, hang on. Billions of years. Okay, wait a minute. How do you know that? And I have asked these questions. You know, I remember in school asking these questions, but you don't get a lot of chance. You know, they would tell you, oh, carbon dating. Well, first of all, I remember being told that, but now as an adult, I know you can't carbon date billions of years. You have to do other methods. But nobody or very few people take the time to actually ask the questions. Well, how do they know this? And how do they know that? And if you do, it's all built on a pile of assumptions. Or not all, but a lot of it is built on a pile of assumptions. Real science that can be reproduced, that other people can verify, says very little about how old the Earth is and where all the life came from.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye, they are the modern day sage. They are the modern day, like, high wizard who can just explain everything that's going on to you. Well, it's like in primitive societies, the people who were able to study the stars and figure out how constellations move and when the rain was going to come, the people that were able to tell people when it was going to rain, these people are like gods. You know, they understand how the world works in a small extent. So we give them all this power and so just, we don't question it. Right. And that's my thing is we don't give enough skepticism to what we're being fed. And, you know, I grew up in a parochial school system, and there were advantages of that. There was disadvantages of that. But I think ultimately,
you know what the
what
word parochial
that,
means?
It's sectional. You learn small sections of a wider philosophy. You never actually get to learn about other worldviews or other philosophies. So, like, we spent one semester learning about every other religion ever.
Right.
One semester. And then you spend how many years? 12 years.
But you learned about Islam from Father O'Brien. Right? Or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who better to teach you about Islam?
Right.
But, you know, ultimately, I just got fed up with it. And I'm highly skeptical of whatever environment I'm in, whether it's a public education system or a private education system. I'm highly skeptical of what I'm being taught and what I'm being fed. You know, that's just something I'm going to take with me in life from experiencing all of that.
Well, and I think that's something that is going to need to be a part of your everyday toolkit from here on out. I think the world level of bull hockey is stacking up to an unbelievable level at this point. There's so much that we have to wade through every day that I don't see how people do it. Just believe what they're told, but not me.
question everything, you know, question what I'm saying and what you're saying.
Yeah.
Question everything. It is possible to arrive at good conclusions, you know. It's possible to know things at the end of the day, but
not everything is worth knowing too. That's, I think, another thing that some people have a hard time with is knowing when to just let some stuff go. Hey, Flat Earth Society, I'm talking to you.
I don't know, man. Have you seen those GoPro videos where they send a hot air balloon into space?
I just let it go, man.
It looks pretty damn flat to me.
You know, it's just one of those things. Here's the thing. Okay, you can argue it till you're blue in the face. Yes, it looks flat if you GoPro and you put it on a rocket. But at the same time, if you look at how high that rocket was on a globe comparatively in scale, it wouldn't even be as high as if you put a thumbtack on there, the top of the thumbtack over the Earth. So if you're that little tiny speck on the top of a thumbtack, it's going to look pretty flat. And if you're only one-third of the way up the thumbtack, which is really more likely an accurate scenario, it's going to look flat. Maybe you're going to see some curvature. I don't know. I mean, I've been in a plane and looked out the window flying over the ocean, and it looked curved to me. But then I've been told that I can't trust that because the windows are mirrored. Well, you know what? Whatever. I fail to see how it's significant. One way or the other. So that's my point. That's my whole point. At some point, you just have to realize that not everything is worth chasing down to an absolute degree. Sometimes you just gotta let some stuff go.
Yeah.
Like, I think people should let Pizzagate go.
Yeah.
I'm not against the idea of it, but there's no victims. There's no proof. I think Pizzagate probably was a real thing, but as soon as the Podesta emails got hacked, they concreted up the kill room in the basement and got rid of all the evidence. And now they're using it as bait to, you know, expose all these people as basically poor journalists and not doing their due diligence.
But, I mean, how was this like a fresh? I can't remember how that story broke. Like, were these Pizzagate emails just sitting there and then eventually someone got around to reading them on WikiLeaks?
Here's how I remember it. There was the WikiLeaks emails, and at first it wasn't, people were just talking about the Benghazi thing, and then there was a release, this is how I remember it, there was a release that the NYPD had subpoenaed Anthony Weiner over some allegations that he was sexting a minor, and they had his laptop that supposedly had child pornography on it and links to the Democratic Party. Then I hear that people start looking for these code words that are supposedly related to child pornography and all this other stuff, and they're doing certain, which you could do. I've done. You can go into the emails and do the searches. It's easy. It is weird.
Control F.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can search WikiLeaks right up at the top. You can just put in cheese pizza, a little search. You can go to the little left side of the page. It says what emails you're looking through.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes it pretty easy.
It is strange. And the other concern I have with WikiLeaks now is, where the hell is Julian Assange? Is he dead? I don't think anyone's seen him for a month and a half.
Well,
it's kind of a similar scenario where you have like an Alex Jones type or you know, someone who probably started out, they really want to get the truth out, and then they turn into a gatekeeper of information. Like, we perceive WikiLeaks to be just like this kind of like hammer that smashes at the government and exposes corruption. But what if it has been subverted? You know, what if Julian Assange is gone now, the CIA has taken over, and the new regime, the new Trump regime, is using it as a tool to, you know, clear all the people that they don't want out. That's also a possibility that I'm sure some people have talked about it, but I think it's important to consider.
I think Julian Assange himself is a shady character. He seems written. He seems like somebody made that character and gave him a role. And he's always in perfect light. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. But, like, the whole story just seems conflagrated. And it's like, he's charged with, I don't even know if I could make the whole thing up if I wanted to. He's charged with sex crimes in, I don't even remember where, like South Africa. Then he goes to Europe, and he's in London, and the Ecuadorian embassy is hiding him. But he's thwarting all the major governments of the world, you know, thumbing his nose at the U.S. Secret Service and CIA and all that, releasing all this stuff for years, living inside a tiny little embassy. And I don't know. I mean, just seems like the plot to a poor novel.
Right?
So I tend to be skeptical of stuff like that. If I look at stuff and it looks like a B-movie plot, I'm like, what? And so I'm skeptical of Snowden as well, because why wouldn't that guy just drop his stuff into WikiLeaks? And then, you know, why bring all the attention to himself? And I know he gives his little reasonings. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't answer muster. I mean, Bradley Manning supposedly only got caught because he went onto other chat rooms and started talking with other people, right? He was emotionally insecure and whatever.
Yeah.
But most of the other people who have dropped stuff into WikiLeaks remained anonymous. So mm-hmm. I think it's fair to assume that Snowden could have done that.
Yeah, he probably wanted some recognition.
Well, yeah, which, I guess he got it. I don't know.
I don't know why you. I wouldn't want to be, going up against high treason. I'd rather just get the information out.
Here's another thing that bothers me, though. I mean, like, you're making your video on your phone, right? I've got, it's an Osdom HD webcam that I got for like $9 on Amazon. Okay, I'm making fake news in my house. You're making fake news in your house. But Snowden runs to Russia and makes a video with like a $19,000 professional studio camera and says, I'm releasing all these. I mean, it just looks like it was made in a movie studio. You know, it's the same thing as that shooting the other day in Turkey, the Russian diplomat. It looked like it was made in a movie studio. Like, where are all the awesome cameras most of the other times?
Oh my God, dude. I totally agree. There's moments.
Why is there perfect camera set up when Hillary Clinton is collapsing on 9/11? You know, perfect lighting, perfect camera setup, and a stable position, you know.
That's why I call it, you know, America season. How long has this country been around? 100 years.
We've been making propaganda for at least 100 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many seasons that is? You know, this 2016 has been a great season. In all honesty, I've been glued to the television screen. There's been some nights where, like, I'll go over to a buddy's house and we will just sit on the couch when there's breaking news and flip between the four or five different stations just to get propaganda, you know, get all to the different angles.
I can't handle it.
After a while, it's too much. Like, you have to stop at a certain point. But I remember vividly the night in Dallas a couple months ago when all the Black Lives Matter riots were really flaring up. And we were watching it, and there's riots in New York. There weren't riots, but there were protests in New York.
All right.
Protests in Dallas. There's a protest in Chicago, protests in L.A. And, like, you could flip between all the different channels and watch. They're covering it live, right? Covering it live. You go onto Periscope on the phone, and there's people broadcasting it live through their phone. You can go to each city and see people in the streets, you know, what they're doing. And it's just really strange. It's just different.
Yeah.
And then all, Fox News. We're watching Fox News, okay? And 30 minutes before everyone else, I swear, because when this happened, I was trying to Google it. I was trying to go to different sources and see what the hell had happened, because they literally broke this story on live television 30 minutes early, which is kind of crazy. When you think about it, but a local Fox affiliate had a camera guy on the ground, just kind of walking around, filming protesters.
Coincidentally.
You hear a couple gunshots pop off. And by the way, you can't find this clip anywhere on the internet. I've looked, because it's great cinematography. You hear a couple shots pop off. A crowd of people starts running at the camera guy. And what does the camera guy do? He just starts freaking running and, like, where the people are running from.
Hmm.
He starts running. So you're on foot. You got the camera, the shaking camera, like this.
Jeez.
And then you finally, like, the whole time they're narrating this. Like, it's insane. And you get to a scene. There's, like, two or three cop cars just in the middle of the street, lights going. And you see, like, three officers just on the ground, dead. And It's just weird. Unbelievable. And then,
but now it's off the air.
It's off the air. You can't find it anywhere. And the thing was, when they were doing it live, one of the hot blondes, whoever it was on Fox News, was like, "Oh, well, we got to cut away now. We got to cut away." So they go to, you know, a different shot in New York or some shit. And the whole night, they had been playing clips of black people being murdered by cops on body cams and cell phones. They play that footage over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And then once you see a dead cop on live TV that got killed by somebody, they got to cut away.
Right.
And that, to me, really struck me. On top of the fact that the whole thing just seemed really, really staged. And they got that 30 minutes. No one was talking about it for a whole 30 minutes.
Well, it's the Ministry of Truth. That's what we got to look forward to, is more stuff like that from our good old Ministry of Truth. That's not what they're calling it. Hang on. What are they calling it again?
I don't know if they have an official name for it yet. Yeah. I mean, the name of the bill.
I thought there was a name. I want to call it Ministry of Truth, really.
I mean, you know, Trump's going to be ready for that. He's a media pro at this point, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to be having some fun on there, if I had to guess. That's my question. Is it going to be like RT, where, you know, it's like an actual broadcast station, they have YouTube videos and stuff?
Well, RT is fake news.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's basically the Kremlin's equivalent of what, you know, what we would be doing. But who knows, maybe it is kind of like what you're saying. It's more hidden. So you're hiring independent people and just different people from different parts of the government to produce content. Kind of like what we're doing now.
Right. But it's not some schlub doing it because he wants to put some truth out. It's the guy that works for the government and he gets a paycheck and he acts like he's some schlub.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. I'm almost there. It's the Countering Information Warfare Act. I know there's a name for it. The Ministry of Truth. In the sense that.
See, so, yeah, I mean, you have the
broadcast. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry.
You're good. Center for Information Analysis and Response. Ministry of Truth. Center for Information Analysis and Response. Center. It's just referred to as the center in most of the time.
What?
That's what it said. Well, in the rest of the article, it says at the very first paragraph, hereafter referred to as the center.
Oh, okay. The center. That's going to be we could start making some money on some scripts, some Hollywood scripts.
Oh, I wanted to mention, by the way, while we're talking about the Ministry of Truth, Google, the text you sent me the other day, the screenshot with the Zionist thing on it.
Yes, dude.
Yes. You know what that was, right? That's Google. That's not.
Yeah.
Did you see my sense. My Google was showing me, I got on there and it was showing me advertisements for silver, and then I refreshed it, and there was something else. Oh, it was some workout thing, I don't know, because it just, that's crazy though. I mean, like, I've had times where I wasn't even looking on the internet, I was just talking to somebody about, like, this example, Crock-Pot. I was talking to this guy at work about how my crock pot was not big enough. And then a couple hours later, I got onto Amazon and it came up immediately, started showing me crock pots.
Oh, God. Oh, my. So I was at my friend's house last night, okay? And he got the new iPhone 7, right?
Right.
Beautiful piece of machinery. Looked just amazing. Besides the point, he put his phone like all the way across the room. You know, like music playing.
Right.
And he's like, "Hey Siri, I mean, the shit pops up, and you could ask it a question. It's getting really good at hearing what you're saying.
I bet it is. Think about how much training that thing is getting. It's getting millions of people training it, giving it input and how to respond and everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know how much actual artificial intelligence that thing has, but I'm assuming a bit. It'd have to.
Yeah. It has the speech recognition, and it feeds off of... It does a lot of Googling for you. But, I mean, you can do some things, like put something on a calendar, set your alarm,
call. Yeah, but it has to be able to make inferences and... I mean, just to understand human speech, it has to... It can't just be a list of command words. It has to be able to follow along. It has to have some sort of intelligence to follow language, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a programmer.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just pretty creepy to me.
It's creepy. Oh, man. The Amazon's the same thing, though. They got all these Amazon gadgets. What's the new... It's not Siri. It's something else. It starts with an S, too, I think.
Amazon... Google, they both have one.
No, Alexa, that's what it is. Alexa is Amazon Alexa.
Okay. Have you seen the story with the murder case? With the Amazon Alexa?
I don't think so.
Okay, let me pull that one up. This is pretty interesting.
Alright, hey, I'm gonna... you pull it up real quick. I need to take a quick humanity break.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Intermission. Get a sip of water.
I should have had you spit a rhyme while I was doing that. Keep everybody entertained.
Oh, yeah. I actually performed last night.
Oh, yeah?
At a bar, I did it.
You get paid for doing that? Mm-hmm. How much time?
15 minutes. It was short. $30.
So what do you go up there and do, what is that, three songs? Two or three songs? Or is it like a freestyle deal?
I had like five or six. Some of them were kind of short, but I just had them all chunked together and have the track, you know, play on my phone and then just rapped over it. But that was pretty fun.
Cool.
But yeah, back to this Alexa thing, this Amazon. These are the type of, you know, legal issues pertaining to privacy and just, you know, search and seizure that we're going to see when there's more and more of these devices that are listening to what we're saying and recording it. So this is from CNN. And you know this is a very reliable source because it's CNN.
Fake news.
Amazon is pushing back against an Arkansas prosecutor's demand for information from a murder suspect's Echo smart speaker, setting up another legal battle over investigators' quest for technology-based evidence and American privacy rights. I'm gonna say this like a newscaster. And this is, Alexa, can you help with this murder case? Benton County prosecuting attorney Nathan Smith hopes the voice-activated Echo, which answers users' questions, plays music, reads news, and connects to other smart devices, will provide information on how a man came to be found dead in 31-year-old James Bates' hot tub. So this guy was killed in this other dude's hot tub, and the cops went to they want to compel Amazon to give them the information that this device has recorded, right? Because it was sitting outside by the hot tub.
Okay? Of course.
That's the story. So Bates' defense attorney, Kimberly Weber, says there's nothing useful on the device and applauds Amazon for protecting her client's privacy. Amazon's basically saying, giving them the finger and saying, "Don't, we're not doing this." Bates, who was arrested in February on suspicion of first-degree murder, is presently free on a $350,000 bond. Discovery hearing in his case is scheduled for March. So, I mean, yeah, this is pretty. This would set a precedent if the courts were able to compel Amazon to, you know, fork over that information.
All right, this
device is recorded.
This inspires me to, I kind of want to go to my bookshelf and grab a book so I can show it to the camera of a book that everybody needs to read. It's called 1984. And it covers all the same stuff we've been talking about tonight, including this. Yeah. You know what a panopticon is?
Panopticon?
I think I'm saying
the screens?
That, huh? No.
I think we're talking about 1984, right? Cause this
well, I don't know if Panopticon screens. Was actually on 1984 or if the word was actually in 1984, but it's the same kind of an idea. A Panopticon is like a prison where basically it's self-monitoring. Everybody monitors themselves. They know they're being watched. They know they're going to get caught if they, you know, are exposed or whatever, and so that everybody just follows the rules. And it's the same kind of thing that's going on in 1984, but I don't think they actually talked about it in 1984.
Yeah, but it's present. It's in 1984. There's like televisions on the wall,
right?
That can also, they can see through the people can see on the other end, can see the television and see what people are doing.
Okay,
but, I mean,
I'm on the
surveillance state.
I'm on the Wikipedia page, so that's not fake news at all. I'm trying to see if it mentions 1984. It does not. So, I don't think it's not exactly the same because they got drawings of how it would work out and everything. But it's the same idea in my mind. How
Panopticon.
It's actually a prison. Let's see what it says on Wikipedia. Type of institutional building designed by English philosopher. The concept of the design is to allow all inmates of an institution to be observed by a single watchman without the inmates being able to tell whether or not they are being watched. Although it is physically impossible for the single watchman to observe all cells at once, the fact that the inmates cannot know when they are being watched means that all inmates must act as though they are being watched at all times, effectively controlling their own behavior constantly. So, it's not exactly a building in 1984, but it's the same thing. I mean, Winston, that's why that's what propels the whole novel, is that they know they're being watched. And that's what's going on here.
Have to go out into the daisy field.
That's what the Internet of Things is, by the way, is the Panopticon.
Oh my gosh. That's why I'm so glad the webcam on my laptop is broken. Oh, I couldn't be being fooled.
I have already figured out a low-tech way to defeat that. Would you like to see my solution? I put this on top of my webcam.
There you go. Boom.
Watch, see how well it works? Can you see me? Boom. Perfect.
This is a breakthrough.
It's low-tech, dude. Low-tech solutions. But, yeah, Panopticon. That's what we're dealing with. That's what all this spying on everybody. And it's also 1984, the newspeak idea, where you can't ever know what's right because they change the story so many dang times.
Yeah, you have Winston sitting in the Ministry of Truth, right? And he's redacting stories and changing things because it's fake news. It's not correct anymore. So we got to fix the narrative.
Right.
I mean, really, that novel is just, I see it everywhere now. More and more as I mean, even in the past couple of years, I've only been really conscious and really active and paying attention for what's going on for the past maybe 3 or 4 years, like really paying attention, but it seems like it's regressing.
Yeah.
Progressing into that.
Well, I feel like we're going into a mix between 1984 and A Brave New World with some other stuff thrown in there, but I really do think that the whole idea of Soma, have you read A Brave New World?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you know what Soma is, right?
Yes, it is the lovely...
The love drug.
The love drug that they all take and have orgies.
Honestly, though, it's not just orgies. They just take it to take...
Just for fun.
They say it's like taking a vacation in the afternoon. Well, that whole idea of drugging people into, you know, submission, basically, I see that happening. That is totally happening. And the idea of engineering people, you know, for specific tasks, I think that we're getting pretty close to doing that right now, too. We're already at the point where if we wanted to, we could be like, I would like a male baby with black hair that'll be 6'5". And, you know, you can already pick a lot of genetic traits with the technology that are coming up when they get more developed and everything like that. It's going to be, you know, CRISPR-Cas9, you can, you know, they got flaws in it right now, but I think eventually they're going to be able to say, would you like his index finger to be longer than his middle finger? Okay, we can do that. I mean, like every gene, they'll be able to just plug out and put in whatever they want. And once they're able to do that, well, they can just manufacture humanity.
I do not like that. But maybe I'm just not progressive enough, you know?
Well,
I'm just scared of technology. I'm just scared of biology. I don't understand science. So... I'm just being ignorant for being against that.
That's probably true. I mean, if you don't want a microchip in your brain, if you don't trust Google, that's the thing that bothers me is like people are like, the Google Glass and the contact, they got contacts. There's a patent out right now for contacts. So it's going to hit the market.
Have you tried the Google Blood?
Google Blood?
Google Blood. It's amazing. It's like regular blood, but it's Google.
Dude. Okay, so the lot of stuff you say reminds me of books that I've read. There is a book called Old Man's War, and it's on Audible. It's, I want to say, John Scalzi, and basically, it's the future. We're really going off the rails on this podcast, by the way. But it's the future, and they've got the technology to put your consciousness into a completely artificially manufactured body. And they only do it, so people live on Earth, normal lives, they die when they're old. But if they want to, when they get old, they can go join the Galactic Army or whatever and get their consciousness transferred into this new body. And it's got, like, the blood in the book, it's trademarked blood, and, like, the corporations build these suits for them, the meat suits, and they go in... They do all these wars, and at the end of it, their reward is they get put back into another human body, but it's artificially created as well.
That's very interesting, actually. So have you seen the new episodes of Black Mirror? Are you still watching that?
I have not seen. I've only seen the first 3 or whatever. I haven't seen the second set yet. I don't watch a lot of TV. I'll get to it.
Well, there is an episode in there that is extremely similar. But it's transhumanism. It's a transhumanism story. Like, people that are in this nursing home, they're able to, like, spend time in a virtual reality where they're 20 years old again, basically, and, like, hang out with other people who are almost about to die.
Right.
It's, like, a way to cope with death. Like, they you know, are able to, like, have fun before they die, basically, because nothing's after this. that's kind of, like, implied, right?
Of course.
And then you don't know this is happening the whole time. It's just, like, so it's interesting because, like, you can go each night, you go do it. Like, you get, like, one day a week or whatever. So, like, Friday night, like, you want to go back to the 80s, right?
Right.
You want to go back to your childhood.
You could just go to 1985. That'd be, honestly, that'd be awesome.
And everyone's just drinking and partying and then having a good time. And there's this other part where people go, and it's, like, out in the desert. It's in the desert. This is interesting. It's in the desert. And
the wasteland.
It's a wasteland, and people are just, like, in this. It's, like, an industrial building, and people are just, like, basically having orgies and just doing a bunch of drugs and just being crazy, depraved people. And you find out later that these people are actually dead. Like, 80% of the people in the simulation are already dead.
There's just, like, their brain. One guy there hanging out.
No. They're all were once, they used to be people, but they they decided to upgrade into the afterlife.
Oh.
So, like, they upload their brain there permanently, their body in real life dies, and they're stuck there.
Like,
and
Johnny Depp in that one movie. Mm-hmm. What's that movie?
I never watched it. I saw it got, like, shit ratings.
It was not bad, but I can't remember the name of it. So anyway, I'll look it up.
It was interesting. That was very interesting. Like, the people who were in the simulation, after a while, they all ended up in that, like, desert, basically, because they were trying to they're focused on, like, the physical, you know?
Right.
Because they're trying to feel something in this virtual reality, and it's not quite real.
Transcendence is the name of that movie I was thinking of, but
I never watched it. It looked strange.
Well, it is. It's the same kind of theme, though, which is interesting. And I'm not saying it's a great movie, but it's just right up there. I mean, he uploads his consciousness into the computer. I mean, his body dies. It's been a while. I can't remember if they do it out of necessity or if he planned it. But he uploads his consciousness into the computer. And then he starts he takes people over. Like, he figures out a way to hack into a human brain. He just, like, takes people over. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff that is like that. That's a lot of stories about stuff like that. But I think because that kind of stuff is going to be possible. That kind of stuff is going to be a part of our lives.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's on the horizon. I just don't buy it. Like, I don't think that if I make a copy of my brain and put it on a computer, that's not going to be me. I'm still going to die.
No.
I don't see the point of that.
Right. Well,
it doesn't seem.
The thing is, nobody can really define what consciousness is. I mean, until you can actually say what consciousness is, how can you try to transfer it to something else? You can't move it from a brain into a computer. Well, you don't know what consciousness is. And even if you could artificially create consciousness into a computer, how would you know that that's the same type of consciousness that you could use? I mean, it's a long way off for that kind of thing. I think that the idea of moving your brain into a non-human synthetic type of body is a lot closer.
Yeah.
They already did. I can't remember if it was successful, but they have attempted a human head transplant in China.
Oh!
I cannot remember the outcome, or maybe it hasn't happened yet, but it's on the schedule. Let me Google that real quick.
I can't. Can't imagine that's going to end well.
It doesn't look like it's happened yet. There is a guy who's going to do it in China, and it looks like in August, November. Yeah, so I don't think it's happened yet, but it is happening. There's a guy that's got, like, this paralyzed body, and I'm sure they're going to use some poor criminal in China as a donor.
Oh, Lord.
Because that's where all the world's donor organs come from, is just from some poor criminal in China.
Oh. Are you an organ donor on your license?
I am, but I don't plan on using that anytime soon.
I don't know if this is an urban legend, but I've heard if you have organ donor on your ID and you get in a car wreck, the people at the hospital will let you die quicker. They don't try to save you.
Well, okay, so I have to say that from personal experience, I would have to say that it may be true, but I know paramedics personally. I know several of them, and they're not going to pull your driver's license out while they're trying to save your life to find out whether or not you're an organ donor. They don't care. Mostly. I'm not going to say there's not guys out there that are doing that, but the guys that I know that are paramedics, like, when we're not, I mean, we're just, like, hanging out, driving down the road, will make us stop if they see a car wreck on the side of the road so they can go try to see if they can save somebody's life. I mean, they're not in it to harvest organs. But, that being said, you know, I don't know that many paramedics. I just know a few.
Yeah.
But it's like anything else, I think. It's real people. I have it on mine because, you know what? Screw it. If they, I don't see how it could harm me all that much. If they take my organs and it ends up killing me, I still feel like I won in the end if somebody else gets to live out of it, because I'll be back.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
I have it on mine too. I'll be back.
I'm like Schwarzenegger. I'll be back. I know I'm coming back. And it's not because of Ray Kurzweil's technology.
This is an interesting article from Quartz. Scientists say your mind isn't confined to your brain or even your body. So, a lot of scientists have thrown religion out. They've just kind of thrown all of it. They don't believe in anything that they can't see with their own eyes or, you know, touch, measure.
Right. So there's except all these, like, dark matter.
There's all these... There's all this, like, these spiritual phenomenons and concepts that they try to put into scientific words, and it just makes me laugh. Like, okay, see if I can read some of it. So defining the concept of a mind is a surprisingly slippery task. The mind is the seat of consciousness, the essence of your being. Without a mind, you cannot be considered meaningfully alive. So what exactly and where precisely is it? Traditionally, scientists have tried to define the mind as the product of brain activity. The brain is the physical substance, and the mind is the conscious product of those firing neurons, according to the classic argument. But growing evidence shows that the mind goes far beyond the physical workings of your brain. No doubt, the brain plays an incredible important role. But our mind cannot be confined to what's inside our skull or even our body, according to a definition first put forward by Dan Siegel, a professor of psychiatry at UCLA School of Medicine and the author of the recently published book, blah, 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 Mind, Journey to the Heart of a Human Being, if that's the book, if you're curious. He first came up with the definition more than two decades ago at a meeting of 40 scientists. The aim was to come to an understanding of the mind that would appeal to common ground. And after much discussion, they decided that a key component of the mind is the emergent self-organizing process, both embodied and relational, that regulates energy and information flow within and among us.
It regulates energy and emotion flow. Well, that would have to include physical characteristics like parts of your brain, wouldn't it? Doesn't the brain regulate energy?
Yeah, I believe so.
Let's see. That's very interesting. See, you see the complications that arise when you try to define consciousness?
It's just like semantics, though. I mean, that sentence doesn't mean anything, and they act like it's some crazy breakthrough.
You know, you said something at the very beginning that I thought was interesting, and you were talking about scientists not believing in anything that they can't see or measure. And I don't know if you heard me, but I had made the backhand comment, except for dark matter. But do you know what dark matter is?
Dark matter. It's just matter that's not regular matter, correct? I mean, it's the opposite of matter.
Well, dark matter is actually something that is not has not ever been, like... Okay, so dark matter is speculation, basically. It's speculation because they have these equations that try to explain how the world works, how the universe works, but they don't make sense unless you insert a bunch of matter that we can't see.
Yes, okay.
And so they speculate that there must be this dark matter or this antimatter that takes up, like most of the universe. It's like supposedly is most of the mass in the universe, but we can't see it, we can't measure it, but it has to be there in order for our mathematical equations to make sense, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that comes back to me now that you say that. That is very, very interesting. You wonder what that is.
Okay.
What could that possibly be?
Wikipedia says 27% of mass and energy in the observable universe. But still, 27% is more than a quarter. I mean, that would be more than 25% of everything in the sky is not seeable or measurable. But they believe it exists because they're mathematical equations.
It must exist, otherwise all their theories are bunk and they don't make any sense.
Right, but think about how many times science and their mathematical theories have been wrong in the past. That's what I don't understand. These scientists they act like because they come up with an idea, that means that it can't be wrong. And they just have no historical perspective on how often other scientists have been wrong.
It's like with climate change too. Climate change has been politicized to the max, and they act like 97% of scientists all agree that climate change is real. Sure, the temperature, the climate is changing. That's what's happened throughout history. What's not been agreed upon is whether it's anthropogenic or it's man-made.
Well,
that 97% of scientists do not agree on that fact.
Before you were born, Ricky, and I'm not that much older than you, but I remember this, it was not called climate change. It was called global warming because the globe was warming. Because they were taking measurements from the 70s and to the 80s and the 90s, and all their measurements were showing an average rise in global temperatures. But then somewhere in the mid to late 90s, the temperatures started to steady out, and now they're actually, by lots of people's measurements, are going down. However, there are some measurements where there's lots of places where they're playing with the measurements. Like they're moving the temperature collecting stations from the country into the inner cities, which are typically warmer because of all the human activity. But there are other places that are measuring it and saying, well, we're cooling now. Enough people are saying that we're cooling that they can't call it global warming because, well, let's just face it, the last couple of summers, how many days has it been 100 degrees in Kansas? And I remember it being way hotter. Mm-hmm. So they can't lie to people anymore and just call it global warming. Now it's climate change. And yes, you're correct. There's no proof that it's anthropogenic. And the fact of the matter is that carbon dioxide, it may have slight greenhouse effects, but it is something that is necessary for the life ecosystem on this planet.
Right. Do you want to have a society? Like, do you want to have things? I don't want to live in a third world country, you know?
I don't want to have things. I honestly think that the best use of our technology and the way that the world should be if we didn't have kleptocrats in charge of everything is we wouldn't need to own anything. We would have like the replicators on Star Trek for food. We would just be able to, like, I'm going to sleep over here and push a button and it would, like, make a bed for you and you just sleep. And then when you get up, you just push a button and it sucks back into your pocket. And you're like, I need coffee. And you push a button and it just spits a cup of coffee into your hand. I mean, that kind of stuff could happen if we didn't have rich kleptocrats stealing most of the wealth and productivity out of the world.
In a free society, yes, it could very well happen. And what's interesting about that is, like, you're right on the border of a Marxist society. Like, if we had the means to just produce whatever we want, you wouldn't need an economy, really.
Right. We wouldn't be Marxist, though, because Marxism is central planning. But what I'm talking about is a complete abundance of resources. There's no need for an organized authority to allocate resources in different ways, because at a certain point we're going to have the technology to distribute them instantaneously wherever the need of man arises. I mean, so, and honestly, I think that we should be there already, technologically. We should be there. We're not there because the governments of this world suck so much of the productivity and wealth out of society that they're hindering us. But that's a personal opinion.
There was a guy, I think, who invented zero-point energy this year. If I'm not mistaken. He claimed. Wow. I wish I knew the dude's name, but
I'm sure he's dead already. But honestly, dude, Tesla said, Nikolai Tesla supposedly found a way to access zero point energy. But
dude, I don't know.
I'll tell you this. The whole idea is zero point. Huh?
Thomas Edison was a jerk. He was a real jerk.
It's interesting that you bring Thomas Edison into it, but zero point energy is really only an idea that can exist in quantum mechanics that kind of relies on a lot of Edison. I mean, if you have an idea of the universe from an electrical perspective, like the electric universe theory, I don't know if you've heard of that, but it, anyway, has probably, we're 2 hours into this podcast. There is no time for the electric universe. We're going to have to do that at some other point.
Next time on Rich.
I don't know if we can call this a news hour, though. I mean, we talk about some news.
I don't know what this is, but if you guys are still here, then you guys are awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we're not recording this live, but if anybody does like this, I think, hey, you want to put this on Facebook? Oh, not Facebook. I don't have Facebook. You could, I guess. I meant YouTube. You want to put this on YouTube?
Sure, yeah.
I could put this on YouTube. I think it's long, though, and I have not verified my account. We'll see if I can get that done.
Yeah, it might take a while to upload. I don't know.
Well, I can't. The last time I tried to upload a video over 15 minutes, they wouldn't let me unless you go through these stupid identity verification checks. So I don't know how long that's going to take. The audio won't be a problem.
Cool.
Although 2 hours, I might have to
make a part one, part two, maybe.
Well, no. You know, the Garth Freeman show. The Garth Freeman show that nobody's ever listened to. That thing has only got it's on a Podomatic, so you can only put so much on there, and you got to start deleting old episodes. So
this is all on video?
Right now, I'm recording this. I'm recording the audio onto my recorder, but I'm also recording the audio and video on my hard drive with this other, this program called Talk Helper, whatever. So I will see what it comes out. I think it's going to come out. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what the video is going to say because I've been screwing around on this thing the whole time. And so, like, I'll be, like, right now I'm on the website and it just minimizes your picture and puts you in the corner.
Oh.
Here, let's see.
Who knows?
Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been doing, like, this kind of thing, like, all night. So it's going to be interesting to see what the video looks like. Who knows?
Let's see.
All right, well, you want to sign us out?
Welcome to 2017. Be sure to watch out for fake news. Question what you're being told, especially if it's being told to you in an authoritative, demanding tone of voice.
All right.
Don't be afraid to critique the authority and question things.
And
my final thoughts.
My final thought is, if you hear it more than 7 times on the TV, it's for sure propaganda. All right, man. Well, I'm going to go ahead and stop this recording.
Cool.
All right, we got 2 hours and 3 minutes. I honestly don't feel like I have the time to watch that so I could edit it. But you know what? And you know, I don't know. Do you listen to podcasts at all or anything like that? Ever?
Sometimes when I'm in the car, when I'm like driving back and forth, I'll listen to them.
Well, because I don't watch TV. I listen to podcasts a lot. So I listen to podcasts. The point is, I listen to podcasts where they don't do any kind of prep at all. There's one news podcast. It's called Revelations Radio News.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, I think it's my favorite, honestly.
Are they pretty polished?
No, it's honestly, it's just like us. You should look it up. Revelations Radio News. But it is basically just two guys that they have a shared Google Drive. This is how I came up with the idea. They talk about it on the air, and I'm like, this is what we're going to do. But they just put stories throughout the week. Well, actually, they're pretty poor. They don't make a podcast every week. They're more like once a monthers, but they just put stories in there, and then they just call each other up on Skype, and then they just do a podcast. They're a little bit more practiced than us, though.
We'll get there.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it, but we just made a 2-hour podcast, and we really did go all over the damn place.
Yeah, I feel like I definitely didn't help there.
No, it wasn't your fault. I mean, honestly, I kept feeling like I was talking over you and stuff like that, but
I didn't prep enough.
I didn't really prep either, and I'll be honest with you. There's like, I feel like there's two ways we could do this. We can sit there, and we could. I don't know. We could sketch everything out or whatever, or we could just freaking do this thing, and I think eventually we'll get better and better at it. We'll just talk about the things that we did wrong. I personally don't have a whole lot of time to just spend hours and hours prepping for a news podcast.
Right. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with the informal. I think, yeah, you're right. It'll get smooth on its own, you know.
If anybody does listen to it, we'll ask for feedbacks. How much, I mean, you get any, can you monitor traffic on your website, on the WordPress site, see if anybody listened to the first one?
Yes, I can see the number of people who have looked at it, what they're interested in, how old they are, what gender they are.
So did anybody listen to our first episode?
Google, I can pull that up.
Well, on Podomatic, it only gives you like weekly stats unless you want to pay for it.
Yeah, that's the nice thing is with this, it's a Google plugin. And Google grabs the demographic information and all the different stuff for you because they know that user's search data.
Right.
So they know all this stuff about people. And then you can use those metrics to figure out who your audience is. Facebook has some pretty good analytics, too.
Ah, it's one of the reasons I'm thinking about searching on my podcaster or carrier is because of the analytics. Look at that. What do you think about that right there? What do you think, Fred?
What's up, Fred? See, I'm looking. Ooh. Pulling the site stats. I'm getting about 15,000 a month. That's like,
that's pretty good.
It's okay. Yeah, I'm hoping to. I want. Okay, so my goal.
That's way more people than are in your college.
Yeah. Yeah. My goal, I'm trying to compete here. I'm in the top three right now in Hayes, but I want to beat out my old employer.
Oh, yeah?
Like, at least on the Facebook. That's my goal. They have, like, 10,000 likes on Facebook. I have about 3,000 right now.
Okay, well, I haven't done any of this, but I've been doing some, and I don't know if you might know all this because they might teach you this in your school, but who knows. But I've been doing some research on how to, like, get people to follow you, to see your media and all that stuff. And you really have to, like, I mean, if you want to be an independent media guy, you have to spend a lot of time going on to other people's websites and like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, all these other places, and like post links to your articles and get involved in their conversations and say, hey, check me out on this and check out my article on this. And that's how you have to drive all your traffic if you're going to do it yourself. I don't have the time for that crap.
What's cool about WordPress is you write the article on WordPress, you schedule it for when you want it to publish, and then you can link it to your social media accounts, so it just does it automatically. But like Reddit would be something I need to start attacking.
Well, see, that's what I was wondering is it right now there's all these new alternatives that are popping up.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying don't get involved in Reddit and Twitter and all this other stuff, but
I'm just not really, I'm not familiar with Reddit and how to, like, make posts that people see. Reddit seems like every time I've tried to do something on Reddit, no one looks at it.
No, you have to go into, if you want to go into Reddit and write something that people are going to see, you have to go in and look at, like, the trending Reddits, the subreddits that, like, if you're going to write an article about something like politics or whatever, you need to go in. Like, let's say you're going to write an article that has something to do with Obama. I don't know why I keep raising my arm. I'm pointing at stuff. See that? See that? I'm pointing. But you need to go into, like, an Obama subreddit and be like, here's an article I wrote. And, like, same kind of thing. But you gotta go where people are at on Reddit. It's not like Facebook. Where, like, people who are on Facebook, people who are subscribed to you or friends with you are going to see every single freaking thing that you post, which is why I'm not on Facebook, because I got tired of people telling me they were on their way to the gym. Go to the gym, I'm going to blast my abs. Just got back from the gym, I got a great workout, I'm going to have a protein shake.
Everyone's telling you how awesome their life is.
But the point I was getting at is, while I'm saying is there's all these alternatives popping up, and, you know, you're in news media, you need to get in on the ground floor. You need to get in, look up Gab. Have you ever heard of Gab?
Yes, I heard about Gab. There was a bunch of conservative Twitter accounts that were getting kicked off Twitter. Okay. And then that's how I heard about it.
So then there's another one. Have you heard of Minds.com?
Minds?
Minds, like I have a mind, but with an S. Minds.com, you should check that out. And then there's another one I just found today I have not messed with, and I think it's LBRY, Elbury. I think this one might be an Ethereum app, and I'm not sure.
LBRY?
LBRY, yes. So LBRY, like I said, I just found it today. I've not had time to research this, but we're not recorded, so fuck it. There's my first F-bomb of the whole night. By the way, you have to give me crap props for that, right?
Yeah, I noticed.
Okay. But this one, LBRY, hosts videos and pictures and stuff. Like, it actually hosts files. Nice. On a blockchain.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
But it looks like it's in beta. It's only in invite mode. So it's not out yet.
That's very cool.
But here, I'm going to put on the wait list. I'm putting myself on the wait list. Bam. Garth Jeffcoat. None, but I want to
see. So you can, that's real. So I could store pictures and video on there and then, like, link it to the site?
I think so. Like I said, I just found that one today. Minds.com looks like it's kind of, I think it hosts pictures. I actually haven't posted on Minds.com yet. I do have an account. It allows you, or it gives you, what I like about Minds instead over Steam it is that it gives you tokens to promote your stuff. But I actually haven't posted anything, so I don't know if it works.
Okay.
But I'm going to post. Did you follow my Steam account? Did you see my coconut oil shit?
No, not yet.
I just posted a bunch of pictures of the coconut oil reforming itself in a skillet on my. Anyway, you have to see it. I think it's cool. And honestly, it has made me more money than my Pizzagate post. I made like $10 out of that post.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just a bunch of pictures of me or of my skillet in coconut oil. But anyway.
Is it gross looking?
No, it's badass. You need to check it out. It's just the coconut oil. Have you ever, coconut oil is like,
yeah,
almost liquid at like 75, 80 degrees. It's like right in there. So I fried corn tortillas in a skillet with coconut oil. Then I left the skillet on the stove and then it hardened up. But it didn't just like harden up like bacon grease where it's just like a flat surface. It like made designs. And then I had made my coffee. And it got the stove hot enough to melt the oil, even though it was not, like, hot to the touch. And then when it reformed, it was a different shape. You got to look at my post. Cool. There's no way to describe it besides you got to look at my post. But anyway, it's just the magic pictures.
Of coconut oil.
It's just pictures that I took with my phone, but, like, it made me $10. It made me more than the article that took me like 4 hours to write.
That's the thing, that the internet is tricky like that.
$11.10 so far.
When I was writing for the school paper, the most popular thing on the site was an article about the World Cup was going on. So this girl wrote an article about World Cup shoes. What were the fashionable shoes that people in the World Cup were wearing?
Stupid.
And that was the one that got like 50,000 hits. And it's like, what? But it trended on Google somehow. Like if you typed in World Cup shoes, that was the first thing that popped up on Google.
That's the kind of stuff that makes me suspicious. Like Google is super suspicious to me. But some... World Cup shoes being the most popular thing on the planet. Does that really make sense? No. No, that can't be right. That's Google telling people what's important. You know? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what it seems like to me.
Hey, you want to see what my setup looks like?
Yeah. There you go.
Boom.
Oh, you got the back camera? All right.
This is a lens on here.
On your camera? Or on your phone? Oh.
Wait.
Oh, yeah, I saw those. Yeah, clip-on lenses. It actually works?
Because it gives me a little bit of space. So, like, I'm right here.
On the front side, okay.
And then I put that on. It gives me a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah, it does. I've noticed that. Because I don't feel like I have much. I was looking at my picture. And it looks like I'm, honestly, it looks like I'm showing too much background. I feel like I wish I would take up more of the camera here.
Yeah, if you lowered the camera, like if you get it to your eye level.
Well, it's sitting on top of my screen. I don't know. So I could try to do this. This is below me, though.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could just set it on top of my microphone. Ah, it makes noise. Here, let's set it over here. Ah, is that making you dizzy?
Nah.
Hey, there we go. It's moving.
That's better, yeah.
It's better?
They say like it's a psychological thing. When the camera's up or down, you perceive people differently. Like, if the camera's looking up, that person's powerful. If it's looking down, you don't look as authoritative. But if you're equal, if you're eye level, then
I'll tell you the real problem.
You're equals when you're talking to people, basically.
Well, that's like the power chair and the right place to sit at the table and all that. The real problem here is that this is my computer chair, and it's low to the ground. That's what I've been sitting on all night.
I have the tripod. It's sitting on a stack of Orson Scott Card books.
Orson Scott Card. That sounds familiar. What did he write?
He wrote the Ender's Game.
Ender's Game. Okay, that's right. I have read Ender's Game. Yep. You read a bunch of them?
I haven't read them.
Oh, you haven't read them?
I got them as a gift. I haven't read them yet, though.
I have read Ender's Game. It has been a long time. And the only reason I read it is because I Googled best sci-fi novels of all time. And it was it kept coming up at the top of everybody's list. So I was like, I'm reading it. It was all right.
It's about like a kid who like becomes like a war strategist, right? In space or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like, have you ever seen that old movie? I want to say it's called Starfighter. Well, anyway, this old movie is called Starfighter, and there's this arcade game where you're a starfighter. But the arcade game is really like a recruitment program for space pilots of an alien war. And Ender's Game is kind of like that. There's this game, except for the kids. I think the kids know that they're what. For anyway, they know that they're training for the war, but it turns out, I don't want to give too much away if you're ever going to read it. It turns out he's fighting the war way before he thinks he is. But they know they're training for a war, but it really does seem like his game, and it's like a strategy game. Kind of like Risk, but it's all virtual.
Oh.
It's pretty good. There's a movie out. I really want to say it has Harrison Ford in it. But the movie was not good. But it saves you a lot of time. You don't want to read the book.
I spent a considerable amount of time catching up on Netflix shows.
I'll tell you what you ought to do is get into Audible.
Audible, yeah.
You ever listen to any books on Audible?
I've been on it for couple months now.
Oh, you're on it?
I have like four or five books. But,
What have you listened to?
I listened to there's Ayn Rand. What's the name of the book? Let me pull up the list.
I want to give you some books that you should listen to. Maybe you should just listen to one and see if we have similar tastes. But
okay,
you should listen to a book called Ready Player One. Ready Player One.
Okay, let me search it on here.
Oh, it's awesome. I wonder if I can loan it to you. Don't download. That's not what I'm trying to do.
Surely they wouldn't let you do that.
Send this book. How can I do that? Send. Every recipient's first book is on us. You're kidding me. You know what? I'm sending you a book, feller.
Really? You can do that?
I don't know. I've never done it before. Let's just see what happens. It says it's totally free if it's your first time accepting a book from a friend. Have you ever accepted a book from a friend?
Oh, nice.
I have not. Bam, you? Me neither. Why don't you?
Yeah, what do you want to listen to?
I don't know. What do you got? Yeah, I think it has to be something you got.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, shit.
I could be wrong. That's just one of the books. I've been doing this for like 2.5 years, so I've got like freaking 50 books.
Oh, hell yeah. Sweet.
Some of these are not worth listening to, but some of them were pretty badass. That is a good book. That book is summary, basically, in a near future where everybody lives their life online in virtual world, and they like put on these virtual suits with virtual glasses, and they live in like little, they basically live in closets. But they just like get up in the morning and the closet turns into a shower and they shower and then it turns into a kitchen and they make kitchen food. And then they just put their little freaking VR suit on and a chair comes up and they sit in the VR suit and live their whole lives basically in the internet.
Sounds awesome.
It is pretty good though because like, well, I mean, if your whole life was like a video game. So it creates a lot of plot possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like we're there to some extent. There's some days where I feel like I'm on the screen quite a bit, especially for what I'm doing. You know, I'll spend a lot of time video editing or working on stuff on the computer. So it's like, it is. It's like a video game.
I'll tell you what, I have been lately trying when I'm in public, specifically to refrain from pulling my phone out of my pocket and looking at it. Yeah. Like when I'm in waiting rooms or in lines or whatever. And honestly, it's tough.
It is.
I'm kind of to the point now where I'm like, I'm going to start leaving my phone at the house. F it. It's going. The only reason that I have it so far is because there have been two times in my life where I didn't answer the phone fast enough and some woman that I knew called the police because they thought I was being murdered. Once was Lacey, and I went to visit Lacey and Matt when they were camping up by Kansas City at this lake, and I was riding my motorcycle, and I drove my motorcycle home, and she kept calling me, but I was on a motorcycle. Who answers the phone on a motorcycle?
Sheesh.
Anyway.
That's funny.
Rabbit trail.
Yeah, can't go off the grid. Can't do that.
No.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a lot of research to indicate that, like when you get a text message or you get like a like on social media, it gives your brain a hit of dopamine.
Yeah, man.
Like it's the same chemical. It's the same addiction process from smoking cigarettes or gambling. Well, it's a highly, highly addictive process that like an entire generation of people have been subjected to at a young age. And guess what? If you start smoking when you're 13 years old, you're going to be a lifetime smoker. If you start drinking when you're 13, like, anyways, I think like,
I was going to say, bad. I escaped the cigarette trap, but I'm still drinking. They got me.
I mean,
dang it.
I'll be addicted to a microwave. That's just going to slowly kill me and make me infertile. So, I mean, it's fine.
I can't tell you how happy I am, Ricky, that you actually think about stuff like that. Because most people that I am related to and talk to do not even consider crap like that. It's beyond their ability to open their mind that far.
No, I work around microwaves. Like, for our broadcasts.
I don't just mean microwaves.
But... Oh, yeah. But I don't know. It's an isolating feeling. I feel like to think about shit like that, but I don't know.
Yeah,
what's it called? The cave.
The allegory of the cave.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like
it is. It totally is.
We've gotten out of the cave somehow.
Let me ask you a question, though. Realistically, how many people are you going to talk to that are going to know what Plato's allegory of the cave are if you just bring it up in conversation? I know what you're talking about. I'll describe it to you if you don't truly mean it.
I have a couple friends, like probably two friends here at Hayes that like would know what we'd be talking about, and like those are the people I'm friends with. So, like. They told me about that and I looked it up. I'm like, holy shit, this is pretty close to what it is. The people casting shadows on the wall, like that's the media. That's Hollywood. That's, people telling you what life is supposed to look like or what life is.
Right.
But it's just an illusion though, but you've never been out of the cave, so you don't know.
And if you try to go back into the cave. After you know and talk to those people, not only are they not going to believe you, but you will make them angry.
Uh-huh. They'll want to kill you. You're screwing up our game. We got to figure it out over here.
You know what, though? It's so true because it's like, you know, I'm a veteran, okay? I was in the National Guard for 15 years. I know lots of people in the military, okay? And my views have changed. But you can't, you can't talk to people who are in that situation about different perspectives, about different ways to look at the war and the propaganda and the enemy and who created. You can't talk to people about that, because that's what it's like. Yeah. I was saying, they're too invested. It's the same yeah. thing. You know, it's like, you know, I don't want to call anybody out, but our oldest brother, teacher, right? The guy can frustrate me more than anybody on the planet. But it's like, you could talk to him about sports and you could sit there and tell him how he's wrong about how his football team is great. And he'll argue with you, but it's no big deal. You could talk to him about politics, and he'll discuss politics with you, and he might disagree, he might agree, it's no big deal. But if you try to talk about how the educational system is messed up, he will get pissed. Allegory of the cave.
Well, I mean, yeah, everyone wants to believe that they're doing the right thing. Everyone wants to, I mean, I don't know, Matt's never taught me, but I'm sure, like, what he does in the classroom, he's trying to help people, but...
He
that
is.
Doesn't change the fact that the education system's fucked.
Right. I'm sure Matt's a great teacher. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that, yeah, the education system is fucked. He's a part of the system, right? Mm-hmm. So he can't see it for what it is. But what it is, it should be obvious, in my opinion. The government funds education. So that means that the education is going to teach people to love the government. That should be fucking self-explanatory, in my opinion. I don't understand how you could argue with me. If I, Corey Kerr, was a multi-billionaire and I moved into your town and said, I'm going to pay to educate all your kids, I can fucking guarantee you all those kids who graduated are going to think I'm a badass. Right? Because I paid for their fucking education. That I don't know, but you can't talk to Matt about that because he's in the cave. I'm glad you brought that up, honestly, because I said, how many people do you know that I don't know anybody else. I know about the allegory of the cave, and I don't know anybody else who I could have mentioned that to, and they would have known what the fuck I was talking about. And I work at a truck shop, though, so whatever.
So, like. My other friend who knows about that, like, he thinks the same way. Like, there's the cave, there's the people casting the shadows and stuff. But he thinks that's good. Ultimately, it's a good thing for society because people aren't capable of, you know, being in control of themselves, basically. He thinks that it's a good thing that there are people high up in the media that are orchestrating it. I'm just like, nah. Like, we disagree on a lot of things, but we also, like... talk about a lot of this stuff, but we just come at completely different conclusions to things. Like, he is a socialist. Like, he's a socialist, communist. Karl Marx is, like, his thing.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I don't know.
My problem with socialism, there's no examples of it being successful anywhere, ever. That's what I don't understand. Like, as a philosophy for guiding society, when has it ever been successful? And it has been tried. You know? It's not like anarchism. People can talk smack about anarchism all they want, but it hadn't really ever been tried. Yeah. But communism has, in multiple places.
Yeah. Well, the problem is the force of government. Like, I was having this conversation, too. It's like, if we had an anarchist society... anarcho-capitalist society, like, there could be 4,000 or 5,000 people who get together and want to start a commune. Like, I don't give a shit. I'm probably not going to go there. But if you want to do that, and there's no government telling you what to do, what not to do, like, they should be able to do that, I think.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to force people to become communists or to do whatever you want to do, have your type of government, no. I don't agree with that.
Well, there's no real need for government in general. I mean... The only reason that we need a government is because some people are going to try to kill other people. But, which I agree, this is why I'm not an anarchist. In the end, I'm what would probably be called a minarchist. But I don't agree, or I don't believe that people are ever going to decide, or I don't believe that everybody is ever going to decide that it's not okay to use violence to get what you want. I don't believe there's ever going to be a time where everybody says, yep, I'm in on this no violence thing. So that means that you have to have some sort of response prepared in case somebody says, you know, give me your fucking wallet, chief, or I'm going to break your face. You know, what are you going to do? And the only way you can have a police force or something like that, really, is to have some sort of government. It could be voluntary, but, you know, that seems unlikely. I don't know. I'm all for anarchy. I'll give it a shot. I can't see how it would work. I do not believe that people are just going to stop, you know, exploiting each other. Women use their power over men all day long. And if there was no government stopping it, men would use their power over women all day long, just like all human history. And, yep. And that's what would happen. Not just men and women, too, but...
Yeah, there has to be some way to temper it, which, like, a local government, yeah, I can get down with that. It's like you're saying, even, you know, like, you know who your representatives are. They're your next-door neighbor. You could go to their house and say hi to them.
Right. And they're not going to pass a law that says, Bob can't collect rainwater unless they get the whole town to agree that Bob is just totally out of line with his rainwater collection.
You're taking up all the water,
Bob.
Seriously.
But
that's just...
Yeah, I don't know. But once again, that leads back to why I think, you know, stuff like Bitcoin has the potential to, in some ways, it has the potential to liberate humanity. Because the person who is able to create currency and to control interest rates is a person that can control the world. I mean... Really, the world. That person, and I don't think it's one person, so that's, thank God it's not one person. If it was one person, we'd all be hosed. That's the good thing, is that it's multiple people, and people, you know, people are greedy, and they're always fighting each other for leverage, and you know.
That's the thing about Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. Like, the first three quarters of it are good, and it's like, okay, how do we get there?
Oh, have you read it?
It all fucks up. I've skimmed it. Like, okay. I've done the Spark Notes. I've tried to read it, but, like, I just... At the time, I was like, fuck this. I don't like where this is going.
I have it over there. I bought it. I have not
read it. The ends justify the means. That's where... Like, even if you have to team up with the bourgeoisie to accomplish what you need to do for the best interest of the working party... Or even if you have to manipulate the media to control the masses and make them dumb or have a fucked up education system that's not actually going to teach people to think rationally or to critique the established norms of your communist society.
Well, I'll tell you what.
The ends justify the means.
The ends justify the means is a political ideology that has caused a lot of evil in this world. In my personal, non-biased, but yet totally correct opinion.
So,
I borrowed that. That was Kent Hovind. Oh. He says that. But, yeah, I don't know. The ends justify the means is basically, it's like, you know, I don't know if it's true, but the supposedly the Jesuits, you know, in their initiation vows say... You know, you could kill somebody if it means that you're pushing the cause of the church forward or whatever.
That's
same
exactly
thing with the Masons. Right. So that's why, you know, people are okay with dropping an atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which is something that should never have been done. Morally, if you look at it, is an undefendable action morally, because millions of people who were non-combatants and not guilty of any kind of crime were murdered on the pretext of saving lives that had not been killed. So the ends justifies means. That's the kind of evil that you deal with. The same BS all over the place.
Mm-hmm. That's why I can't get down with it.
What does Gary think about that?
I'm pretty sure Catholicism is similar. Like, we had that conversation in class about the bombings, the atomic bombs. And it's like, well, if more people would have died afterwards, if the war would have kept going for 15 years and twice as many people died, then yeah, it's okay.
Right.
But how do you know that, though? How do you know how long the war is going to last? You're not clairvoyant. You can't see in the future.
Right. And those people, you know, the argument, you can't second guess them. They don't know what they were. They didn't know the ins and the outs and all this other crap. I mean, I get that. But at the end of the day, you have to take a position of whether you're going to do evil or not. And it's like, if somebody comes to you and says, I am going to murder somebody unless you murder this person. Well, should you murder that person? No, you should not murder that person. You know why you should not murder that person? Because it's not beyond, it's out of your control whether or not this guy over here commits murder. You're not responsible for his actions. You're responsible for your actions. So it's the same if it's a child, even. Kill this woman or else I'll kill this child. It's still not okay for you to commit murder. Right. So that's the problem that people get into, is this idea of trying to relativize morality.
Like, when would that ever happen in real life, too? Like, it's a crazy...
First episode of Black... What's this? Black Mirror.
Oh, right.
The guy screwing the pig. Hey, the whole time I was watching it, honestly, I was saying this out loud. I was like, when is the answer ever fuck a pig? Never! Never fuck a pig! The correct answer is never fuck a pig! Yeah, I mean, it seems obvious to me, no matter what. They could threaten all they want, but when is it ever morally correct to fuck a pig? Never! That should be self-evident, but the fact that they make this TV show, and it's like, that's the whole point of the TV show, right? It's supposedly raising moral dilemmas created by the technology that we've got right now, right? Okay. Isn't that, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but that's what I perceive to be the main theme of the show. But that's not a moral dilemma, in my opinion. Fucking a pig is not a moral dilemma. I don't care if they're going to kill. I mean, I care if they were going to kill some woman, but that's them killing some woman. Me fucking a pig doesn't make it better. It's never the correct answer.
Well, I mean, it does. It does. I mean, it kind of does teach you that, though, because, like, at the end of the day, he's still fucking.
He fucked a pig.
Yeah.
And they let the woman go.
He let the woman go.
Yeah. And they let her go. That's what's crazy.
Before he did it, too. Like an hour before.
That's true. They did. But it still teaches people. It teaches people that, you know, morality is gray. That there are times when it's okay to do this. And which, you know, to a certain point, I mean, like, I'm okay with that, right? Like, if you're married and your wife says, do I look good in this dress? And you think that her ass looks fat. And you say, you look great, honey. I think that's the morally correct thing to do. Even though you've lied. Seriously, though. I mean, am I wrong? You create harm by saying, no, honey. Your ass looks fat in that dress. You would create harm. You would harm your relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
You would harm her personally. But to lie, you refrain from harming her. So in that instance, lying, you know, arguably is a morally correct thing to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's what this...
I agree with you.
This program is trying to paint fucking a pig in the same light as telling your wife that she looks good in that dress. Which I think is just out of control. This is the total... Anyway, whatever.
See, I mean, there's part of it, it's like, is this a reflection of society, or is this what they're trying to push on society? I think there's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, our political leaders are fucking insane. Like, what they'll do, the things that they will do for whatever the cause is.
I'll tell you
what. There's other...
I think, and I don't have this figured out, but I'm about to get religious on you here. But the Bible talks about Satan being in charge of all the kingdoms, right? Matthew chapter 4, right? So Jesus goes out into the desert. And Satan comes up and says, you know, turn the stone into bread. And he says, you know, I'm not going to do that. And then he says, do this, and I'm not going to do that. Then Jesus takes him up onto the temple and he shows them, or Satan shows Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and says, all of these are mine. And I give them to whoever I want. Now, if you'll worship me, then I'll give them to you. Right? And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to do that. So, that's not the main point of the story at that instance, but... It implies some sort of satanic control at the top levels of government, in my opinion, in the plain reading of the text. However, there's lots of times where like, you ever read Daniel, the book of Daniel? Daniel's one of my favorites. Daniel's one of the favorites. It's my favorite. It's probably my favorite. Daniel's got the golden statue.
Yeah, they're all.
And they go in the fiery oven. Daniel's got the lion's den. And Daniel's got this chapter where Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, goes crazy for like 7 years. And he thinks he's an ox or a bull, and he's like living with the animals in the wilderness and like crawling on all fours and just crazy, like he thinks he's an animal. And then he regains his consciousness. So Nebuchadnezzar is one of the very few, probably the only in the Old Testament, non-Jewish author of biblical text. According to what the Bible says it is. But in the Bible, in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, it claims this, I am Nebuchadnezzar writing this text, and here is the deal. And according to Nebuchadnezzar's own words, the whole point of the story was that God was showing him that he puts in charge of the nations whoever he wants, and he takes them out whenever he wants. So, you've kind of got, I don't know, maybe not conflicting stories, but you've got multiple interested parties in civil government.
I'd agree with you on that.
So, it makes it hard to kind of say, oh, the devil's in charge of everything, because, I don't know, generalization, the way that I see the Bible saying it all works out is, the devil is kind of, or the devil and the fallen angels are kind of like the spiritual powers that are running stuff mostly. But God built the sandbox, and he just every once in a while says, no, I'm going to do this. And no, I'm going to do that. And they can't say nothing about it because it's his backyard. And that's kind of how I think it works out. I don't claim any special knowledge. That's just me, like, trying to figure shit out in my head, but...
Right. Yeah. I could see that. I tend to think that it is more controlled, like, especially in the media and entertainment and a lot of this stuff, it's pretty apparent there's a lot of symbolism there. And it's like, why is this popular? Why is this the cool thing in the music industry now to put satanic imagery in your music? And these are the most popular artists. And it doesn't make sense until you, you know, you realize that, the thing, Matthew.
Well, and not only just Matthew, but... Okay, so... I don't know, without going too deep...
I try to convince people of this, right? Like, who don't believe in God, listen to that kind of music. I'm like, look at this. There's a fucking pentagram with a circle, and it's on fire. And there's a guy fucking, like, standing around it like a zombie. Like, you don't understand what you're looking at? How do you not see that? I mean, it's
because they don't believe that there's any kind of real spiritual power involved in what's going on. But see, I don't know. What I was going to say is the whole, and it ties into that, is the whole, one of the big issues that I have with a lot of the conspiracy theories and whatever, that people try to say, oh, the Illuminati is running the show, or, oh, the Jesuits are in control, or all these guys. None of it is going to make sense, because all of that is overly simplistic. Oh, that's overly simplistic. What I think is the world is made up by a lot of human interests. Some of them are very powerful and they have specific agendas. And a lot of those very powerful interests that have specific agendas are Satan worshipers. Because I do think that, like Satan and other spiritual entities, I do think that they got these big followings. But that's, for one, they're not all on the same playbook. I think that they fight with each other. I think that they're internal conflicts. But for two, they don't have homogeneous control of the world. I mean, they may have all this other BS going on the news and on YouTube and all this other stuff, but I'm going to put this video on YouTube. Okay? They don't got us. So they can't. They don't have everything. The world is much more complex than a lot of people think it is. And the perception that everybody sees and the overarching viewpoint of society, that's what Satan has control over. So the idea that everything's going into the crapper and that everything's going down the hill, that's a satanic idea. Because that's not the world that we live in. We're in charge of this. So this whole world has been left under our humanity's authority. Humanity. Man, we have authority in this place, not Satan. And these people at the top, some of them want to give this power over, and they get things out of it. But this is not their world. This is our world. And in the end, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be our world again. And those guys are all going to get the boot. They're getting the boot. So, you know, when Jesus comes back, he's bringing grandma with him. And we're getting rid of all these evil cocksuckers that are raping kids at pizza parlors. Bottom line.
So it works out in the end.
Yeah, that should be the intro line to our podcast. Grandma's coming back and we're getting rid of the pedophiles. Bam. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good hook. That's a good way to get them in there.
Well, we didn't get it on the video, but I just realized we're still recording on the other deal, so... We're at 2 hours and 51 minutes. That'll blow my monthly limit on Podomatic. I'm going to have to get another... I've been thinking about migrating to Libsyn. If I do that, we'll be all right.
So this book right here is by
Power,
a screenwriter from L.A., and it's like Machiavellianism, basically. It's like the Machiavellian Bible. It's kind of like a way, like how people who do control stuff, how they think. And like, you have to be a sociopath to do this, the stuff in the book. Like, you just manipulate everyone around you, basically. You step on people's faces to get to the top. And it just makes sense why, like, everyone at the very, very top, it's a generalization, but it makes sense why most of the people at the very top would be evil people, you know?
I was just trying to remember if I had this book still. I don't think I have a paper copy, but a book that I have read, and you will never read. I'm going to go ahead and just call it out right there. I'm trying to remember the name of it, so hang on. Let's see. Bibliography. Here we go. It is called War. No. Is that it? That's not what I'm looking for. Ah, I was going to say Tolstoy, but it's not. I can't remember the name of the book.
The Art of War?
No. It is, man, I wanted to say it was Tolstoy, but now I can't remember. It's another Russian writer, and he writes the book about, Raskolnikov is the name of the main character. I can remember the main character's name. But anyway, it's just this guy that gets caught up in like Nietzsche's philosophy and that kind of thing, because it's older. And he decides that if he has the will to get away with it, then nothing is immoral and he can do whatever he wants. And so he murders this woman. And the whole book, that's basically the Crime and Punishment. That's what it's called. It's not Tolstoy, though. What the heck?
Well, there's the rationalization in this book is the stuff in this book is not moral or amoral.
Dostoevsky. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's the same kind of thing. Okay, so it's Dostoevsky. I'm sorry. I forgot. But, okay, it's the same thing. In Dostoevsky, in this Crime and Punishment, it's not immoral to kill this person because, you know, basically, in this book, it's basically because of evolution, you know, and basically because we're all just animals and it's not immoral to kill somebody to get up or to screw somebody over to get a leg up in business or whatever, because there's no real morality. It's just we're just animals and we can do whatever we want.
Right. If you don't do it, someone else will. So.
Right.
That's the rational, yeah.
For some reason, I thought Tolstoy wrote that. I forgot Tolstoy. Sorry.
I like the book because then I can, like, recognize when people are being manipulative and not have to fucking...
What was the one you had it called again?
It's 48 Laws of Power.
48 Laws of Power. It's honestly, it's not... It sounds like it is,
pretty satanic.
It sounds like it's right in there with, like, the, have you ever heard of the, what do they call it? Not the method. The Secret.
Ah, yeah.
You ever heard of that bullshit?
Yeah. Oh, that's so dumb. Just will everything into existence.
Well, that's... You know, I don't know. That's at the heart of all humanism, really.
This thing is interesting, though, because, like, it weaves history, you know, historical leaders and stuff, and, like, it shows examples.
Hmm.
So you get some historical context there, which is probably the most valuable thing in the book, but it's pretty twisted in the end. Like, I was reading it, like, I can recognize stuff that, you know, like, a celebrity does or, like, Trump does. Like, gaining attention at all costs.
Well, yeah. Okay. You bring up Trump, and I never say much about it because I'm no kind of an expert, but I just see things. I see patterns. But, yeah, Trump is like... It's like when I was saying earlier, if you want to get people to read your post, you have to go to this place and you have to say, hey, check out this. And then you have to go to that place and you have to say, dude, Trump is like, he's all about that. He's all over that kind of stuff. That's why, but anyway, I had a lot of people tell me that Obama was an idiot and all this other bullshit. And I don't like Obama and I never did, but I've always said Obama was a genius. Okay. And I think the same thing. In certain ways, Trump is a genius. Trump understands, which all these talking heads on the news, they can say whatever they want, but that what they are failing to admit, if they are not failing to understand, is that the presidency is all about celebrity. And that Trump has figured out what it takes to be a celebrity. That's why he won in the end. He's a celebrity. He's got it figured out. He is an excellent celebrity. And I think Trump's a genius in that kind of thing. Trump was probably the most popular guy in his every school he ever went to. Guaranteed. I mean, don't you think? I bet everybody loved him.
Probably.
He was huge. Wherever he went. Yeah, maybe not.
Who knows? I mean, he definitely loves attention.
Well,
I think he uses that attention. He knows what he's doing. I don't think he's... Yeah, I think he is super smart. He plays it down. He acts like he's... there's another one that's in this book. Where's it at? Always appear dumber than your mark.
Yeah.
There I think you go. That's one of the tenets. Make your accomplishments seem effortless.
I'll tell you what. It sounds like a book that has a lot to say about how to deal with narcissists. Have you ever done any research on narcissists? And how they act? Yeah, that's... Anyway, I'm not saying it's all the same, but narcissists are some of the most manipulative people on the planet. And I know a couple of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, they pull all... That trick specific... Probably not all the tricks in your book, but... If you want to learn about how to spot when people are trying to manipulate you... Do a little research on narcissism because they're the masters.
No, I have, because fuck, just crazy, crazy women, crazy girls.
Yeah. Well, at least they're not white males.
Huh?
Said at least they're not white males. Yeah. It'll be all right. All right. Well. Been 3 hours. I think I'm done sitting here for. I'm past my sitting still limit.
Right on. I need to go get some food, some nourishment.
All right, man. Well,
snack.
For anybody who is stuck around for the 3 hour podcast edition of this, woohoo! It might suck though because I see the peak light keeps going off, so I think I might have my mic turned up too loud for that one. But we'll see.
We got some Joe Rogan experience type of length on this one. 3 hours.
Yeah. That's funny, because I actually watched Joe Rogan, like a 6-minute clip right before this thing started.
Really?
Yeah. It was about that MTV white guy thing. That's why I was thinking about it.
Dude,
Joe Rogan. Anyway, it was pretty funny because he was like, "Dude, that's like a third of the whole population."
I don't know how MTV did look like bad, because everything that I've seen about it it's been criticized. Like, why would you think this is a good idea? It's the most divisive thing. MTV used to be cool.
Honestly, cool I never really. I never remember liking what was on MTV, frankly. I mean, when I was a kid, there was videos on all the time when I was young. But when I was young, they had like the Headbangers Ball and all that shit. And I was listening to New Kids on the Block and, you know, Def Leppard and Skid Row. The shit was not on MTV. And then by the time I got older... Then they just, like, by the time I was in high school, they just stopped playing music videos, and all they played was, like, Real World Road Rules Challenge, which Well, I mean,
trash.
Right. It was just bullshit. Then they had, then they came out with like four more TV channels of just straight bullshit. I just never liked MTV. They did have Beavis and Butthead. I liked Beavis and Butthead when I was younger. True. But
that's pretty small list.
Oh, speaking of, I want to give you one more podcast recommendation. It is called The No Agenda Show.
I'm skeptical already.
You will like it. Actually, frankly, if you're going to check out one of the two that I recommended, you should check that one out first. I think it's more likely you'll like that one than you'll like the other one.
Okay.
It has Adam Curry in it. He used to be on MTV, which is why I said that was a... Anyway, they basically, what these two guys do, and they're not exactly like me in political opinions, but they're like, they agree with me on a lot of things. But they basically spend their whole days watching the news and then just dissecting. Like, they'll rewind what did he say? You know, they just spend their whole day, and then they come out twice a week. I want to say Thursdays and Sundays, they come out with like a 3-hour podcast. And it's like a morning show atmosphere. So it's like Bob and Tom in the Morning kind of thing. But it's a podcast. That's kinda cool. Anyway, it's entertaining, but I really like the way they deconstruct the news, because they just spot things that slip by me a lot. I don't know. You check it out. If you don't like it, fuck it.
But okay.
It's good.
I'll give it a listen.
You got a train going by you?
Yep.
All right, sounds good.
Not too far away. Right. I used to live like right
next to it.
2 years ago, I was right, like literally next to the tracks, and it was the worst.
Dude,
you'd go off every night.
My mom lives right by the tracks in Derby, and like, anyway, I don't know how she does it. I spent like 2 weeks there in my camper when I was building the porch for her. I freaking hated it. Every day at 5 o'clock in the morning, that stupid train would go by.
I mean, there should be some sort of city ordinance against that, but...
Well, the city doesn't want to pass laws that will cause somebody to get crashed into by a train.
That's true. And, like, someone did get ran over, like, a couple years ago, so...
I gotta tell you, honestly, if you get hit by a train, you gotta be trying. Or somebody murdered you.
The guy was... I think he killed himself, actually. Okay.
I mean, it's not like you got hit by... You know, a meteor that came out of the sky. It's a train. It's humongous. Yeah, it makes a lot of noise. That. You got plenty of time to get out of the way. Anyway.
Yeah. The other interesting thing about that is the land around the tracks. And the tracks themselves is owned by... fuck. What's the... It's like a federal railroad organization.
Yeah, I know. You know why, don't you? Because when they... When the federal government first bought all the land in the Louisiana Territory, which is the main start of it, they owned everything out west. And so what they did was basically give land away to whoever would just show up and like build a home on it. But the railroads wanted to build railroads across the country, and so the U.S. government gave them basically a mile on either side of the track. Look me up on this. I could be wrong on the exact numbers, but I think they gave them a mile on either side of the track to run railroads wherever the fuck they wanted. Because back, you know, think about it, in the 1800s, like, most of the time, the only people living in the western part of the United States were fucking Indians, and we just killed them, right. Rid of them. So that's why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And railroad. The thing that they do, the railroad police, sometimes they'll camp out. Because there's like these apartments that are on the other side of the tracks, and you have to cross the tracks to get to school. Otherwise, you have to go like, you know, 10 minutes out of your way. Not like if you're walking, it's like 15, 20 minutes out of your way to get to class when you could just take the shortcut. And they sit right there and they wait for people to walk across, and they give them a ticket. And it's like a $500 fine.
Yeah, but how can they really make you pay it? When I was in Pittsburgh, there was a really badass off-road dirt bike, and I don't mean like motorcycle, but like mountain bike trails, like built on these, because there's a bunch of strip pits in the area. So there's these old reclaimed strip pits where there's just a bunch of big ass ditches dug, and there's all these trails going up and through, up and down, and all weaving in and out of them, and there's trees growing because it's been reclaimed, and it's awesome. But the railroad owned it. And they come out there and threaten to do shit. And they came out one time and told me that they're going to give me a ticket for $1,000 or something. I was like, fuck you. What are you? Who are you going to give the ticket to? And they're like, what's your name? And I'm like, fuck you. You got an ID? Fuck you. And they could, they basically couldn't do nothing. Which, by the way, that is also, that also is, it can work, can work on civilian law enforcement, depending on the circumstances. If you're driving, it won't work. But if you're walking down the road and a guy says he wants to see your ID and he wants to know your name and all that, just tell him no. Because they cannot arrest a non-person. They have to have a name to file charges against you. So unless you've actually done some sort of, like, something really bad. Anyway, a lot of people get arrested because they give the police their name. Bottom line. Really? Do not give the police your name if you do have to. And if they say, why didn't you want to give me your name? Just say, privacy concerns. I don't need to give you my name. Do you have a reason to suspect that I've committed a crime? I have protection under the First Amendment. You know, what are you going to do?
I'll be like, okay, we got a sovereign citizen over here. Bring back up.
Well, don't use the word sovereign. Don't use the word citizen and resist anybody trying to pigeonhole you by using labels. That's always a good idea, too. Are you a sovereign citizen? I don't know what you're talking about. Are you a libertarian? What? Who's a libertarian? What is a libertarian? Are you, you know, whatever. Are you a part of the truther movement? What is the truth movement? What are you talking about, guy? Resist labels. You know, labels are only there. It's the same thing. Labels are the same thing as, like, in medical textbooks. The only reason that they're there is so that people can easily give a diagnosis and then they know what the treatment is. In medicine, it's drugs. In politics, it's, you know, should you go to jail or should you get, you know, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, I'm getting off in tangents. It's time to go.
Oh, shit.
Nah, I gotta go to the bathroom again anyway, so.
Right on.
Well, peace out.
Peace.
It was fun, man.
Until next time.
Yeah.
I agree.
You think we should do more organized next time or not? Or just freaking wrap it up?
I'll try.